Blog Talk Radio.
So let's talk about the greatest football in the league. And let me post that because I got busy talking to my friends here on the air. And, well, anyway, so I've been complaining that the Argos have been doing nada. And, well, it seems they're starting to do things. But more importantly, I think the main subject of tonight is going to be the conversation about, guess what, folks? The rules have been approved. The Canadian Football League is the first league that is going to go with replays for pass interference. Anyway, we'll get into all the details of that. Also, it is Friday night, and guys, don't forget to text me on Facebook if you want me to call you. And the number, if you want to call directly, is, of course, the regular number, the guest calling number is 714-242-5250. And people are always, I don't know, I guess it's because of all the testosterone in the, you know, in the group and on the air here and in the studio, in the virtual studio. People are kind of intimidated by the guys that are in here because there are definite opinions. But let me tell you a little secret. They don't know that much. They're about as brilliant as I am. So, you know, don't feel intimidated in any way. And we keep trying. We're going to try and get some, you know, estrogen into the show. Hopefully we can get some estrogen going on. Some female football fans that are more than willing to share their opinion. And, you know, it need not be guarded opinion. It can be just flat out opinion. That's, you know, that's the first thing that we approve of here. Now, on the good news front, a friend of the show, a player that connected to the show, who's been on the show on numerous occasions, has caught in a little bit of a break. He's on the final leg of making the Indoor Football League team in Los Angeles, run by none other. Well, I can tell you the name of the team, and you'll know who runs the team. The team is the LA Kiss. And our friend's name is A.J. Allen. Christopher, you're a comedian. Okay, let's go to the phones. And I think that's Christopher. Christopher's coming in at a different number. When you call, you can also use Skype, which some of the guys use. Some call directly. Some use Skype. In the virtual studio with us right now are Rob J. Emery.
What's up,
Serge,
what's up?
There you go, Serge Delvaux-Loutien. And there he is. And, of course, I guess that's you, right, Christopher? It looks like the number that you normally call under. Is it you?
I'm here.
It is you. Okay.
Good evening, all.
Okay, I'm gonna temperate because I can only show so many windows. Oh, there's Kelly. Ha-ha, I widened my screen and Kelly showed up. Yeah, we'll get you in here too, Kelly. Okay, first of all, tell me how the week's gone for you, Christopher. Everything shaking out good? Wedding preparations are well under control. How are things in the homestead?
You didn't look at my status this week, did you?
I think I did, but I obviously didn't notice the important part on your status. Did they break up? The wedding's off? What's the story?
No, we're just going to skip over this part. Let's go somewhere else.
Oh, really?
There was some bad issues. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. I honestly didn't read your status.
Well,
somehow...
Wedding's fine.
Oh, okay.
Got nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay. Are you okay?
A person cannot be okay after something like this happens.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to have to – I feel sheepish right now because I really was unaware. And as life tends
that's,
to do –
That's okay. Busy. That's okay. It's
not... Do I need to pray for you?
I'll live.
Okay, good. All right. So we'll move on to football then. Is that right?
That would be my preference. That's why I'm here.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Christopher. All right, also with us tonight, as I said, Christopher Jones. We've already introduced ourselves to Serge Develutien. And, of course, Rob J. Emery. And now joining us as well are both, and we'll start with Kelly Bale. Kelly, welcome to the program.
How you doing, fellas?
I'm stunned now. I'm afraid to ask you. I'm afraid to ask how everybody's week has gone. And you know, Christopher, I just came from a memorial mass for my mother's best friend who died a year ago today, and they had a memorial mass today. So you know, life isn't all roses for everyone all the time. We all get our thorns so often, and we hope to survive them. And
I had
four
deaths in my family in 1 week, Frank.
My gosh. Separate incidents?
Every one of them.
Oh, my God. That's a boatload of bad luck. If you swear tonight on the show, you're forgiven.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. I mean that, and I mean that sincerely. You have a very long leash tonight. Not that you have a leash normally, but...
I'm good.
Let's talk football.
Distractions are wonderful.
Okay, Mike Townsend is also here. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Now,
what's going on, Mike?
Did you hear what I said, Mike?
What's up, Kelly?
Did you hear what I said?
I heard a little bit about Chris get a lead.
No. Forget about Chris. Chris doesn't want to get into that. What I wanted to let's go. Let's move
hear,
over.
I didn't hear what was going
let's
on.
Let's move over
so
to good news.
I don't know.
AJ Allen is on the short strokes of making the LA Kiss.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not only that. After the draft, he will be trying out for the Dallas Cowboys. That's right, the NFL
wow.
Dallas Cowboys.
Way to go, AJ.
Awesome.
And
is he
good
online
luck,
yet? What's up?
Yeah, he's here, but he was willing to be on, just that his phone is really, not that good. It's just not working right. So we will obviously follow his... his road to popularity and or fame and know that we had a very small part in it as a support group. You know, it's the first time that we've had a guy who came out of nowhere, took some advice from some smart guys like you guys, and I was being sarcastic when I was making the comments about intelligence. I referred to you guys as not being too intelligent like me. And you know, whatever little advice we gave him, that's as much credit as we're allowed. And the support that we give him is great. I mean, we can all enjoy his success, and we will remind him that he will not be successful until he retires.
Yep. And you know what, Frank? I give a shout-out to AJ myself because that's what you call a player going out getting his instead of waiting for somebody to hand him something. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
We get a lot of guys in our arena room. Chris, myself, and Kelly, we always say the same thing. Quit posting videos of your 40 time, how high you can jump, one-on-one coverage with no disrespect to the person with a stiff that probably don't even know nothing about football. If you want to get yourself out there, hit these tryouts. Market yourself. Call different teams and talk to their team representative. Quit waiting for handouts and sending us messages on how can we get you to the CFL. We can't get you. You only can get yourself to the CFL.
But we can be here.
I love
we
those
can...
messages, man. I love those messages.
Well,
how
we,
can that,
we got
how,
one today.
Can you get me into the CFL? Can you get me into the CFL? Duh. I'm a fan.
Right.
I have so much authority.
Well, you know,
I'm just going to phone Wally up and say, hey, Boo, this is what you need to do. Come take this guy on in the tryout.
You know,
we all like to pretend we're GMs, but you know, the reality is we're not GMs.
We're not conning
Go on,
anybody.
Frank.
Nobody here is conning anybody. Nobody here is trying to sell themselves as something they're not. Well, yes, we are, but not as GMs. But you know, and by that I'm being funny again. Okay, not so funny. the intention here, the intention for the program is it doesn't matter whether 8 or 8,000 people listen or 80,000. It really is irrelevant. The relevance of this program is for us, and actually, Christopher, you hit the nail on the head for why I do it, which is, for me, it's therapeutic. And sometimes life isn't very good to you, so you need something to grab onto that just says, yeah, I had a good day today. And that's why we do this program. And when a guy... when a guy calls here and he says, you know, he messages us, he sees that we're doing this show and he thinks that we have all these connections, you know, and to be honest with you, we do have connections. Don't kid yourself. There are connections here. The thing about the connections that are here, they're more from a fan perspective as opposed to inner management, in their ear, you know, agent type perspective. I don't have that kind of, I'm not an agent perspective guy. So, to make a long story short and to end it as quick as I can, we are here to advise guys who ask us questions that are easy for us to answer. When a guy says to me, and you guys can answer on your own, when a guy calls here and he says, or he Facebooks us and he goes into our room and our group and he says, I want to play in the CFL like you guys were implying. What we do is we say, the most that we can do is we can point in a direction where there's opportunities for you to show what you can do. And it isn't always about numbers. And, you know, in fact, Milanovic said just as much in Lakeland during this, you know, this mini camp that they're having. And he basically said the same thing. He said, the guys come here, we want to see what they can do. But if they don't understand how the game, the basics of football, and understand how to be prepared for this kind of opportunity, we're not going to bring them in. They might have a look this time. And the point being that they come, they get educated, then they're going to fail. Then the question is, do they learn anything and bring it there next time? So there's two ways to learn about what you have to do when you show up at a mini camp or something like that, or if you get an opportunity to show what you can do, is you've got to learn from your mistakes, which basically means if you don't do anything, you won't know exactly what to do, because a lot of times people don't learn unless they specifically are shown what is wrong that they've done. And so, you know, and all we can do is say, here's where they have a practice, or here's where they have a mini camp. Here's where you can contact, because anyone anywhere can go to the CFL.ca, look up any team, and they can get in contact with the team. Anybody can do that. That's all you have to do. The question is, what are you contacting them for, and how are you contacting them, and what are you giving them to help them make a decision? Talent just isn't, it's sheer belief in your own talent isn't enough. You have to be able to demonstrate that you're a football player that can be coached and looks like someone that can be molded into a professional. And that's the key. You have to show that you're capable of playing in a manner that a coach thinks that they see something raw here that they can work with. You know, let's face it, the guys that show up at those kinds of things and that call us, they're not refined players. They're not guys that have, you know, played for other teams, seen what it's like at a camp. You know, these are guys who believe they have the talent to participate in a camp. But actual participation and knowledge of what it takes to impress, that has to be learned and worked hard towards. So I've done my speech. Anybody want to, what did I miss? I'm sure I missed something. Anybody want to add something to that as advice for the guys that want us to get them a job in the CFL?
My advice, plain and simple. Call the teams, find out when the tryouts, and get your butt into the CFL tryout camp. Simple as that.
Yep.
And if you fail, try again.
Public information.
It's all public
information.
One of the things the CFL and
its clubs have really made it easy for people, and so there's no excuses anymore. But I just wanted to say, too, that any one of us would, you know, let's say there's a guy in Montana or North Dakota or South Dakota. You know, if he can get his butt to the border, I can give him a ride from there. You know what I mean? Like, we're nice guys. We'll do what we can do. Mike included, Chris, you know, these guys have done things maybe not AJ Allen specifically, but, Trapp and some of these other guys. You know, I've actually worked hard for a couple of these guys, and, we're not saying we're bad guys.
No. The point is...
Frank touched base on something here. Frank hit the nail on something from what Milanovic said. And, anybody can get there and do their 440s or 434s or whatever times, their high jumps, their this, that, and everything else. But what if you want to come out there and stand out from the rest? Because there's 150 guys there in a mini camp that are going to break the 4.5 in the 40. Okay, what's going to make you stand out? A hundred thousandths of the second faster? No, that's not going to make you stand out. Knowledge of the CFL is going to make you stand out. If you understand our game, the three-down system, you're going to excel at these mini camps. That's just fact of the matter. I'll give you something else that's going to be really important. Show up with a passport. Show up saying that, yes, I can get into Canada. I have the ability to cross that border and work inside of Canada. Just do that. You wouldn't believe how many people are asked to the training camps in each province across this country, and they get up to the border and they have no clue as to how to get across the border, and they're not allowed. They get turned around. So,
Thank you.
Be prepared. Understand our game. Understand our country, and come up prepared. And I mean, you're light years ahead of most of the pack if you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my rant.
And I didn't get a chance to mention this last week, but Chris also read the article. Three guys from the Atlanta Sharks. They are affiliated with the American Indoor Football League. BC Lions signed three guys from the indoor league last week. I think it was two receivers and a linebacker at the BC Lion free agent tryout camp. Signed three, and that team even won a game all season. But they have some talented players, and them guys showed out and got signed. Congratulations to them three guys.
And they're professional guys that have played football at a professional level, which, it's like, I was in construction when I was working, and it's not really rocket science for me, because I actually did construction. I actually did manage employees. I actually did run job sites. So when I was asked questions, I answered in a way that clearly showed. And it isn't a question of handing over a diploma. It's by the way you answer the questions that you have the experience and the knowledge about what they're hiring you for. When you get on the football field, the fact that you run a straight line is wonderful. It's great. It's fantastic. But when the coach says to you, okay, I now want to see you cover that guy, that's when you start splitting the potato. That's when you start separating the wheat from the chaff, guys. You really have to, if you're going to say you're going to be a football player, then you're not a track star. You're a football player. You're going to have to show that you understand the game and that you're capable of playing the game. And when the coach instructs you to do something, you actually understand what the instruction is. Because, guys, there are a lot of people in this world who think they know how to do something, and then a professional asks them a question, and they look like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, I think 99% of these guys, though, have played college ball for 4 years, and there's just nowhere else for them to go afterwards. So I think that they are all pretty much talented in their aspects, their positions, and their abilities to do their job. I really don't think that that's an issue.
Well, I happen to
maybe
think
I'm
that,
wrong.
No, it's about the game, and it's about being, like, from going to college to being professional is a whole different. It's a whole different kettle of fish. There is no investment in professional teams on a player. You don't have that nice little pillow. Those little pillow gloves, like those nice soft gloves to take care of you, because the school has invested in you. You're coming in bare naked. You've got to compete with guys, not because you were brought in, but that you want in. And that's what I mean. Wanting in is one thing, and feeling as though you're, because that's, I think that's the wake up call that most professionals, that eventually that they see and that it really strips them of their, almost of their pride. And that's where, you know, a professional and a college player separate. There's a difference, in my opinion. You really got to understand the pro game and understand what you're ready for. But that's, you know, that's just
if you think back to that kid that we had on the show, the first kid that was on the show, he was a quarterback that changed over to receiver because he wanted to go somewhere past college. And it being a Canadian, the odds of him being a quarterback were nil. So he switched over to the receiver position, extremely articulate, very intelligent.
Yep.
He went off and he studied every team so that when he got into the interviews, he could identify who the OC was, who the head coach was. He knew what was going on with the team in which he was there to see. And, you know, that kid did his homework, and he impressed the hell out of me.
There you
Seriously
go.
Seriously impressed me.
Oh, for sure. And
I'm several thousand miles away.
Yeah, if anybody wants any advice, they just listen to that episode of the show. And you know, you try to mirror this guy because this guy's on the way.
He did it, man. He nailed it for me. Totally. And Frank, who was it?
The receiver.
Wachowski.
I forgot what his name was.
I can tell you.
From
you
Toronto.
Know who I'm talking about?
Wachowski. Yeah.
Yep.
Polish kid. Where is he? Alex Pierczelski.
That's his name. Yep.
Pierczelski.
Brilliant
Pierczelski.
Kid.
He was a UFT receiver.
This is
I
what
have phenomenal
against,
admiration
guys.
For him. He's going to make it in our league.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And that's an eventuality. And right now what's going on is...
I want him on my team.
He's up for the draft. We'll see what happens, where he comes in. I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll get drafted. Right now the big deal is, do you guys want to talk? We could talk about a few things. There's a couple of things that are on my front burner. One is the rule changes. They've finally
Pass
been
interference.
And basically how you can do what you got to do. You know what I mean? And also we have players now. We're at the point now, for example, where the experienced players are being let go. They're, you know, we talk about the NFL guys that leave. Well, the Hamilton Tiger Cats released a former Toronto Argonaut.
The Purge.
Right? And those guys are now going to start happening. There's going to be players with experience who are probably too expensive for a team, and they got a guy that they think is younger, cheaper, and will be able to, you know, he'll be able to do a better job. And I'm referring to, linebacker Brandon Isaac. He's been let go, and he was a pretty key component in the rise of Hamilton and the demise of Toronto, in my opinion. Now, wouldn't surprise me if he turns up again in Toronto, for goodness sake. After all, he was let go. It's not more, or it depends if it was a political thing and if it's something that,
you did lose a couple good linebackers, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm grateful because...
I got one.
I know. And you got a defensive lineman, too. Oh,
did we really?
Yes, you did.
I'm so surprised.
I bet you are. Yeah, you got that guy that you didn't want, that you sent here, that didn't want to come here and decided to finally stay here, and he did a great job, in some people's eyes, changed his reputation, and now he becomes someone that BC scours the globe for. If you listen to the GM, the brilliant man that he is, he looked for a Khalif Mitchell, couldn't find one anywhere, and then turned up a Khalif Mitchell. So, yeah.
Amazing how that happens, isn't it, you know?
It is totally amazing. It is totally amazing. I'm going to give a shout-out right now, and Allison Hudson, who runs the Ottawa Red Black group on Facebook, go to the Ottawa Red Black Facebook page, and she'd like to have some people vote for her on the www.OttawaWeddingAwards.com/voting. Vote for her. Give her some love. Good friend of the show.
This is up on the Facebook page, Ottawa Facebook page.
Yeah, and she also posted on ours on CFL Is as well. You may or may not remember. Yeah, she was running. Her group started as bring back football to Ottawa about 4 years ago, and then they got a team, came back, and so she's asking if people would be interested. I definitely would support her. She's a fine person and a great CFL football fan. So there's that to talk about. There's the rules to talk about, and there's even the Argos are making moves now. So as Serge refers to them, the Toronto Alouettes. Right, Serge? I mean, we're taking all your brains, aren't we? We're taking all the guys that
our
you
brains
have.
And our brawn, yeah.
Yeah, your brains and your brawn. They're doing well. The Argonauts have now an offensive lineman in Brian Chu. He's an offensive line coach, and this guy knows the game. Has won 2 Grey Cups, 13 years played in the CFL, played for only one team. Then I guess, from what I understand from you, Serge, he went to Concordia. The Stingers football team?
Yeah, he started as an O-line coach and went on to be an offensive coordinator, but the team never really amounted to much under his tenure, which doesn't necessarily mean that he was a bad coach. It's just, the team was, I guess, in a transition period or something. So.
Well, we all understand that also the other thing is there's circumstances, as you're suggesting, that the team can be in transition. It might not be his forte at this point. Maybe he needs to step back from head coach to offensive line coach and get in touch with, you know, his solid.
Well, they just changed their head coach. It was Jerry McGrath for like infinity years. So they just got a new guy, Donovan. So I guess it was a whole, for Chu, I guess it was time to move on.
Right, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, but I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him because it's his first CFL job, and I have no doubt he'll do really well. And hey, he knows Milo, he knows Burke, he knows Filion, he's gonna feel. I'm sure they handpicked him. They said, "I want this guy. I know him. I'm pretty sure Milanovic had to stay in the matter to Barker about the hiring."
And I'm sure that Ricky Ray made a phone call and said, "Get me somebody that understands our game." Because I'm sure Ricky Ray has some input into the offensive line, the stress that the Argos have in creating a good offensive line. I know if I was the quarterback of his reputation, I'd be going to I understand we need linebackers, but I think the offensive line needs some work. Even if it didn't, it would still need some work. Nothing's more helpful to a quarterback than an offensive line. And they actually do help to make quarterbacks look good. And we've had the debate here on the show due to other various quarterbacks who some don't get a lot of credit because they have a poor offensive line, and some who get too much credit because they have a great offensive line. We run the gamut here. So that's a good move for Toronto.
Yeah,
offensive
line, Scott Flory announcing his retirement after, what was it, 14 years in the league.
Wow. 15
years, my bad. I bet. All with the Alouettes, except for a very brief stint with Saskatchewan, his home province. But other than that, yeah.
That's where Kelly can jump in.
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you don't know the Scott Flory story, he basically signed here to come home one evening and then called back the next morning and asked for the contract to be ripped up and never even signed it. So the Alouettes later signed him. I think it was just a couple days later, something like that. And, he remained an Alouette for the rest of his career, which is...
And thereby the nickname Flip-Flop Flory on Rider fans.
Yeah. Well, we have our own nickname for Flory and come from. I mean,
well,
I grew up with the guy, so...
Somehow
I grew up with the guy.
It starts with an F. Yeah, it starts with an F, I have a feeling. That fool. That fool.
So I got a long leash. Am I allowed to say it?
No. We love him. I mean, he's a fantastic guy. And so is his family.
I am in a position here to say that, this is how I felt about, Khalif Mitchell leaving Toronto. I felt a little bit betrayed. But when one... you know, analyzes the situation and stops from, you know, sets aside the personal attitude towards it. The guy's, you know, trying to earn a living. And not only is he trying to earn a living, he's trying to, you know the old saying, if you don't love what you do, it's not worth doing. So, you know,
yeah, you
have to cut these guys a lot of slack because, you know, if we were in the same position as them, we would go for the best situation, not necessarily money, because it isn't always about money, even though a lot of people think it's about money. I'm sure there are a lot of guys, and I believe this in my heart, there's a lot of guys who sign in places where they sign for less than they would somewhere else.
I think right. Having played at U of S, Flory kind of is a big fan of real units of guys, and those guys really bonded from day one. That line was intact for how many seasons, Farish? Like maybe six? The legendary lineup.
The Alzo line has always been something of a consistency and definitely definitely a reason for their...
What was the best incarnation of the line? Was it Chu, Flory, OKK?
Yeah.
Who else?
Who else did we have?
Fort?
Neil Fort, yeah.
Fort,
I think the
yeah.
2002 mm-hmm. line was a pretty good, the Grey Cup winning line was a pretty good, it was Chu, Fort, Flory, somebody missing in the mix, but...
OKK? Azuma,
yeah, there's
OKK?
A fifth one, I'm not, it's not coming to mind, but...
yeah, me neither.
Well, the,
well,
the point,
anyway,
winning the point is,
was
is
it Vercheval?
No, Vercheval left in 2001, so there was another player. It'll come. I'm not. My brain's a little cloudy late at night, but
so
when
important.
I think of it, I'll, but just
so
just a little side note on Flory. I mean, I have a particular link to him because when he first came to Montreal '99, my mom was working at the Gazette. She was like telemarketing, and she gets this call from Ildis Sir in Montreal and Scott Flory. So this was her first introduction to the man and the player, and there's kind of been always been for because my mom doesn't know anything about football. She's not a football person, but she's always remembers. Who's Scott Flory?
That's cute. That's awesome.
So that's an example of when you're in a, you know, being successful at what you do, you know, enjoying, and that's part of loving what you do. If you're good at it and if the people you're with help you to be better at it, that's a hard environment to leave. It's tough. It's tough to leave that kind of environment. Sometimes no amount of money is going to make you leave. So, you know, now we're at the time of the year where, you know, we've been talking, right, Mike, about the NFL, and now they got the draft going on, which to me is an absolute unbelievable event. I can't believe people actually watch 5 hours of the first round. I wasn't one of them, by the way.
Yeah, because they were trying to see where Johnny Football was going to go.
Oh, that was...
That's all right.
So, you know, it's that time of year we're waiting to see NFL players go. And Johnny Football, he showed exactly why he dropped that many to what? 20, he went down to 22. Was it 20? He went down to 22, right? Did you see how he walked on the stage?
Yep.
What a moron!
That's him, though. You have to understand him,
that,
though. And
I don't have to understand that. Not, that's an idiot. That's it. Doing the money thing, walking on the stage, doing the money thing after being humiliated. Yeah, but
It was something he came up with a while ago, though, Frank. It's not as if he invented it last night.
No, that's not my point.
No,
you're making it worse for him because you're making it worse because now you're telling me he's thinking about a way to be a real obnoxious, self-centered, money-grubbing athlete. Just what we need.
Money has several different connotations, Frank. It doesn't always mean cash money, but that happens to be how he represents it. But money can mean like clutch, like, you know what I mean? And that's sometimes what...
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah,
I'm trying to understand what
you're saying, Kelly, and I do understand a little bit. But it's like when a hockey player holds a brick of money against his ear in Vegas. You know, that's just, you know, people spend hard earned cash, and they shoot their budget to go to a hockey game. you know? And that's what I'm talking about. That's disrespect for the fans who pay through the nose, and some who can't afford to go.
Yeah, well, fair enough. You definitely have the right to that opinion, of course.
That's all it is, just an opinion.
You know, I have, you know, don't hate on my man Zeal because he's a Brown now, and that's my blood. Like, that's who I bleed for. So.
Oh, okay. So you're a Brown fan, so you'll approve of anything he
does.
Oh,
I'm a huge Brown fan. Yeah, like that's the thing.
And I'm a
fan
too.
I'll admit I'm heavily affected.
I'm going to tell you guys too. Johnny Football is going to get killed in Cleveland. He's going to get killed. Don't have no offensive
line
that's going to block him. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Them guys do not have an offensive line. Soon as Johnny Football gets to scrambling and trying to run across the field, he's going to get leveled. He's going to get leveled.
Hey, I got one question about the draft here. I really don't care about the NFL nor the draft or anything else, but I do have a question as to where did that guy turn up that came out of the closet? Did he get drafted?
Oh, you know, I don't know.
Not yet.
He
was supposed to go in like top two or three picks, wasn't he?
No. They never said that. They said he could be a first round pick, but he won't. He probably second or third round pick. And probably because
yeah,
it came out,
round.
It probably dropped to, you know, fifth or sixth.
Not because
of him being gay, but just because of all the attention. And, you know, a lot of teams aren't going to want that kind of attention. Not because he's gay, but because of the attention. It could be, something that's disconcerting. You know, he can be admired for what he's done, which I do. But I can also understand the trepidation by some teams that just don't want to get involved in that what could be a circus. What could be? I'm not saying he's not
it's
the circus.
It's gonna be. It's gonna be.
There's always players in every sport that kind of, you know, are blacklisted almost. Like Dennis Rodman, for example, in the NBA. There's certain clubs like the Utah Jazz would never ever sign Dennis Rodman.
Well,
but
from what
no
I heard today,
for that.
From what
He's
I heard
lunatic.
Today, neither will the Orlando Magic.
Right.
I found out today that the Orlando Magic.
I'm going to tell you guys something. And y'all going to hear it first from me.
Uh-oh.
So in a couple of years down the road when we had this show and we're going to say I told you so, Manziel will be in the CFL. Mark my word.
You'll probably play in Saskatchewan.
I say Saskatchewan and probably Winnipeg somewhere.
He's going to be in the CFL. Somebody referred
to... Has he recently been arrested?
No. It's all about his gameplay.
Okay.
It's all about his gameplay. It's all about his gameplay. He's not a guy who can handle being hit. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that he's a guy who's not going to be able to be hit. And then he'll become... What did they draft him for? To be a one-trick pony that they bring in once in a while, a rollout passer? Because that's his strength. But he was compared to Tom Clements. And when I heard that today, when I heard him compared to Tom Clements, I said to myself, I kind of liked Tom Clements. I thought he was a great quarterback. And he was a little guy, and he ran, and he could throw on the run, you know. There aren't many guys that can do that.
Tom Clements took hits.
Yeah, of course he took hits. I mean, you're playing football.
Yep.
You're going to take a hit.
Yeah.
You can't run all the time. Sometimes, you know, they actually surprise you. Right? But all I'm saying is that I was
take a hit.
That seems to be the general consensus. And, you know, the good news for your Cleveland fans is that they didn't use his first pick, their first pick, to draft him. You know, they waited till the 22nd. And so they had another draft at the top of the draft, and they drafted someone else. So, you know, I think a defender, right? I don't remember who exactly.
Yeah,
but,
cornerback.
Yeah, you know, so...
Gilbert or Gibson?
Right. Whatever his name is. The point I was raising about the draft is that I really didn't mean to talk about the NFL other than to carry on the subject we always talk about, and I said to my, that's why I brought Mike into it. So, Mike, now we have the draft, and these teams start drafting, and now they know for sure the guys that they have. And as soon as they draft those guys in the first round or second round or players that they figure can replace the ones they have, because of the draft, there's going to be players shaking loose that the CFL is going to have a crack at. That's the point I was trying to make. And I'm just wondering who those guys are going to be because of the draft. Does anybody have any guesses? But I can't ask Christopher because Christopher doesn't care about the NFL draft. So there'll be a few guys that will shake loose now.
The only reason I knew it was on was Kelly was talking about it.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be guys like, what's the guy that played for, who did he play for? I think he played for Calgary. That played for Seattle. Browner, what's his name, Brandon Browner?
Yep.
That guy is going to be back in the CFL because they're going to find somebody that's going to replace him because he can't seem to get his act right.
He's
going to get cut.
Yeah, he's maxed out his practice roster time, too.
Yep. You're going to find a couple of receivers, big-time receivers, that just want to welcome out in different NFL clubs that's going to come north of the border. Linebackers, corners. It's going to be a lot of NFL guys transitioning to the CFL.
To Mike's point that he's made over the past few weeks, there's going to be a lot of extra players coming loose. And it's interesting because it's like pool. You know what I mean? It's like pool when you break. You know, one ball gets hit, and it hits another ball, and all of a sudden, you know, in the corner pocket or in the Argos pocket, there's DB, this D-back that becomes available because of the NFL. Now, the Argos don't need another D-back, so they free theirs up, like Hamilton did today. So now we're at the point in the season that I really love, when we start seeing the carousel of players, and that's the first signal and why I raised the NFL. This is the beginning of the chain of events that lead to new players coming to the CFL. And then because of that, regulars in the CFL come loose and other teams can pick them up. Because usually, Kelly, tell me this. You're the kind of guy that knows this kind of thing. How many guys do you think per team on average shake loose from another team that a team brings in? Like, for example, Saskatchewan's a bad example because they're pretty set. Let's say a middle-of-the-road team, not middle-of-the-road, let's say
Toronto.
Winnipeg. Toronto's kind of more lower end. We're almost starting from scratch on defense. So, you could use Toronto as an example or Winnipeg. You know, there's going to be about five or six players on that team that shake loose from other CFL teams. Is that a fair number? A half dozen?
Yeah,
or
for
seven?
Sure. Definitely. Right? No, that's perfect. Like five or six, I think, that's maybe one defensive line, couple linebackers, and then one DB and a couple off guys on offense.
So there's going to be this carousel, and then when that happens, then guys become expendable on the other team. So now it's, it's really like speed dating almost.
For sure, mm-hmm. And it's hot and heavy
speed
with dating. The NFL guys and the arena
speed
guys, and these college undrafted guys. I mean, that's how we scored Weston Dressler, originally. And you can find a diamond in the rough. Your stock goes up as a GM, that's for sure.
And
Wally's good at.
Okay,
Mike,
go ahead.
About this, and the thing about this is, look how many CFL players came to the NFL this year. It was a big transition from a lot of CFL players getting signed to NFL teams.
Absolutely.
Now, going into next season, guess how many NFL players are going to be playing in the CFL? Chad Ochocinco is just one of many people that's going to play or that's going to come. When these guys get beat out by these first and second year players that just got drafted the year before, because a lot of NFL teams are looking for younger players in their 20s. They figure once you're 30 years old, you're old. So, therefore, you're going to have a lot of players that's 30, 31 that have a lot of gas left in their tanks, and they just want to play. I mean, the agent's going to sign with car CFL teams. CFL teams are going to bring these guys in and see what they can do. I mean, it's going to be a lot of swapping of the leagues. A lot.
Oh, hey, and then add the other variable. Then there's the other variable, and this is one, Christopher, that I'll throw at you. Then you have the previous draft picks that belong to that team, guys that were drafted a year or two ago, pretty high, first or second or even third round, that are starting to mature as football players. are beginning to make players on the roster expendable as well. And these are guys that are shaking other players loose. There are so many ways, that a GM in the CFL has. I really admire the work they do. So, there's what about these players who were drafted a year or two ago? We're going to start seeing some of them ready for prime time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What I'm looking forward to in Saskatchewan this year is Sam Hurl, part of the Canadian Air Force of last year. he's an exciting player to watch. And, this draft business, when we're talking draft, mostly we're talking about special teams players here, guys. So, for the first 2 years, as Frank says, and then there's the transition to the regular game time. We got other guys too, Canadian linebackers, Tristan Black and Peters,
yep.
And there's some guys just waiting to get their opportunity. Mike McCullough is currently an incumbent, rotating in at linebacker, and is he going to be there? We don't know. Probably not. Thinking of a scenario today where Tamman could really, solve a problem with McCullough and really honor him and allow him to think about continuing on his career. But I won't get into that.
Well, the important thing is that there are so many places where a GM goes to find players. He's got, like we said, the seeds of the draft. He's got the NFL. I shouldn't refer to them as rejects, more or less fruit that comes loose that they can go after. And it makes it really interesting to follow. And for me being an Argo fan, right now I'm at my lowest point that I'm going to be, I believe, as an Argo fan the last couple of weeks, mostly because the patience of watching some stuff happen to make me feel like the game's happening here in Toronto as well. We're really as ramped up as us guys are about the game, and the ladies that follow us and follow as well. The big thing for us is we're always hyped for the game. But now what's going to happen with all these different places where guys could show up from? It's starting to get to be fun, because now I get to say, see, Brandon Isaac left the Argos. Now the Ticats are done with him. Maybe he'll come back to the Argos. I know who he is. And we get to start to play our own little, I don't do the pick the players and go for the points thing that most people play. I just like watching the game and listening to the game and being a part of enjoying the game. But there's a lot of activity right now in football, and this draft in the NFL is the trigger, I think, that starts it all going, because then we get our Canadian draft in a short little while, and that's another reason why players get shook loose.
Yeah, because you're going to see a lot of these fifth and sixth round draft picks that have been drafted in the NFL. Man, 9 times out of 10, they're going to show up in the Canadian draft and get picked first, second round, sometimes how many rounds the Canadian draft has. Some of these guys are going to get drafted and then never going to step on the NFL field just yet, So
yeah,
it's a good time for football, for both
leagues. The draft's only Canadian players, Mike. Just, here in the CFL, it's just Canadian players.
Oh, okay.
Any undrafted Americans are like free agents. Anybody can grab them. Put them on your negotiation list, and they're yours.
That's it.
I notice on this thing, Frank, is there's a lot of NFL players, or there's a lot of CIS players who were drafted in the first or second round, like high up numbers, hoping that they'd stick, and they ended up grabbing an NFL contract either on the practice roster or third string or whatever else they got. And they're down there for 2-3 years, and then, they either get tired of it and they come back home or whatever else. Those players are coming back in, and they're coming in and taking positions as well. And, that was another little, for lack of a better term, source of revenue that the GMs have, a revenue stream. Because, I'll give you an example, is Danny Watkins. Danny Watkins was picked in, the first round of 2008? He's just hung it up. He's finally out of the NFL, and Wally's, he came up to Vancouver to talk to Wally, and he just says, I'm married, I have a family, I don't think I'm going to play football anymore, and that's it. It's game over for him. It's unfortunate, because he's an awesome lineman, and he would do wonderful in BC, but he just got soured by the carousel down in America.
Well, you know,
here made a career here.
I know.
They go after the good money right out of the draft, and off they go.
But that's all they need. He accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, because if he didn't accomplish what he wanted, he'd still be chasing it. So now he's got money, and he figures, well, you know, I'm going to take that. You know, the wonderful thing about football, it's the gift that keeps giving. I always promote how great football players are. But the greatest thing about football players is they get an automatic introduction to some of the best education for nothing that most people would wish they could get or pay for. So, you know, there are the guys who really did grasp the education and now take a bit of cash, and now they go, you know what, how much it hurts, how much hassle, how much politics, I got this much money in the bank, I can invest it in myself or in what I learned, and I'll move on. And they move on, and I don't think they're crying about it. I think they're just making a conscious decision, and that's going to happen. Football's not a great game to play for a very long time, guys, in my opinion. It is a torturous game. You know, it hurts you. It causes you physical pain and long-term injuries. You know, it's not all nice. It may look bright, you know, with the lights and the fans and the autographs, you know, but it's brutal, man. It's brutal on your body. So, you know, some guys actually quit because they don't think it's worth it anymore, and they can do something else.
Yeah, and there's not one person in this on this show tonight that wouldn't left not to have an opportunity to do it.
Well, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind trying to catch a CFL quarterback's pass.
I wouldn't. I'm not interested. I mean, man, you get beat up there. It's tough.
Never, sir. You never wanted to do it.
Well. With my physique and my – no, I mean, I don't think we should take for granted the fact that, you know, what these guys do on the field is pretty heavy duty. So it's not,
it is.
I'm not belittling that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But every one of us would have loved to have been in that position.
But Christopher,
to have done
I appreciate how, you know, bone-crushing and tough – it is, so it's, you watch and you get the impression that, you know, you might want to do that, but once you're there, unless, you know, you've played or you know, it's a completely different. So, no, I'm content being in the stands and just, you know, paying my ticket.
You're the exception that makes the rule, Serge.
Yeah.
You're the exception that makes the rule. You know,
right.
Everything isn't 100%. You know what I'm saying? It's like when the U.S. Constitution came. They all agreed that it was a great idea, but one of them stood up and said, listen, for this to be a true vote, somebody has to vote against it, so I'll vote against it. You know what I mean? So life works that way. But, yeah, I would love to – there was a time in my life, I'm sure maybe crafted a different way, Christopher. At some point in someone's life, some guy's life, they've always dreamt of being a professional athlete. At some point in your life, you've done it. Everybody's done it. Some of us have become aware of the dangers of becoming an athlete and have decided that those dangers are too much of an impediment to make me give it a try. That's all. That's all.
Well,
the desire is there.
At 50 years old, I don't want to go do it.
Well, I'm 60, so needless to say, I'm even further away.
Well, I tell you what.
Go watch the
movie
Invincible, man, and tell me that guy didn't rock.
Of course he did.
Man.
There was an author in Devoutienne, maybe you have to, I forgot his name, Canadian author, played in all kinds of sports back in the 80s or 70s. I'm trying to remember his name, I can see his face, and he played goal for the Boston Bruins, and he wrote a book about being an athlete just for one day, and I think he did other sports as well. I think he did basketball, and I think, I'm pretty sure he did football too. I forgot the guy's name. He's a Canadian author, and he they did a book about it. The guy who wrote Paper Lion, actually. I think it's the guy that wrote Paper Lion, but anyway.
Yeah,
and enough about that. I forgot his name, but a tall guy, brunette, and you know, not a physically imposing physique, but he did all that. So, yeah, there are guys like that. There are people like that. There
Paper
are women
Lion
like that.
Paper Lion was George Plimpton.
That's it. That's the guy.
Plimpton, yeah.
George Plimpton. And if you Google him, you'll see that he played, I think it was in goal for the Boston Bruins, and he played other sports, and he wrote books about it. And he did the TV show circuit, you know, the Dick Cavett.
He played football. He did play football. I know that. I remember
but
that.
But he's Canadian. Yeah. Well, whatever. Anyway, the point is he was
basically born in New York.
Oh, is that where he's born? Okay. At the end of it all, the important thing to note is that there is a desire for us to do something like that. Everybody has that, you know. Everybody has that wish I was in their skin, you know. It doesn't necessarily have to be sports. It can be a lot of other things. I know somebody in this house who'd love to be one of those TV cooks, you know, and thinks they would do a great job at it. And I don't doubt it for a second. But the reality of getting the opportunity is what makes it more of a dream than a reality. So, you know, yeah, it's great. It's great to have that kind of dream. And that's wonderful. So we free up the NFL starts having a draft. We start freeing up players. That starts the phones working. The conversations that GMs have with agents starts to heighten with the NFL players coming up soon. All these all these practices they're having, these open practices they're having. There's an odd guy in there that they're going, you know, that guy we could put him as one of our, you know, seven linebackers that we bring to camp type thing, right? And now all the musical chairs begin. Who else do you see, like an Isaac, shaking loose? Does anybody see anybody who's on a slippery slope because of this time of year that showed something last year that was lacking?
Well, there's no secret that Brendan Tamman is, you know, still negotiating with G-Roy Simon, and you know, that's the guy that could end up shaking loose, and that's a pretty big guy that's, you know, Ottawa, or imagine if G-Roy Simon joined the Alouettes.
No, you know what? I said if G-Roy went anywhere, I think G-Roy would have two places. Either he would probably go back to BC for lesser money or be a veteran receiver for the Ottawa Redblacks.
Mm-hmm. I think he would end up in Winnipeg.
Yep. That's what I'm going to
go back to where it started.
Winnipeg's one of the strongest teams with receivers. That's the last place I'd
go. You haven't been paying attention to Saskatchewan then.
Okay. Yes, I have.
I'm not a big Clarence Denmark fan.
What?
Yeah, I don't. Wow. Don't like his. I don't really like his game. that's just me.
Mind you,
but
though,
you
I
know
have
what?
To remember.
Clarence Denmark is a good receiver though. You know, he needed some
he
help.
He had the
droppies
last year.
Yeah, he did have the droppies. But I think this year he has to show something this year.
Yeah. Hopefully he can put it together because he is the weak spot, I believe, even though he's, you know, pumped up to be this great guy. It's kind of like reminds me of DJ Flick in Saskatchewan.
Right.
Now, so then now all of a sudden we had the NFL draft. Now the Canadian draft comes in. It's the suggestion that number one may not go number one. How far down do you think he'll slide down the Manziel Road? And I'm referring to Tardif.
Yeah,
is that the lineman?
I'd say mid sixth round.
You think he'll go down that far?
Yeah.
I figure maybe early in the second round.
No, it's already happened, and he didn't go.
No?
No, it's over, and he's not drafted yet.
What about that McGill player, DuVernay? I think he was in the NFL draft.
Yeah, isn't he the guy that is yeah, how about DuVernay?
Because I was just saying on the radio about, well, Pop was mentioning that his biggest difficulty is the fact that by playing in the CIS, you know, people don't know what he's really, what he can really do, what is his real worth. But
yeah, it's always been an obstacle. I mean, they would have to have access to some very limited access footage because the CIS isn't always enjoyed the best coverage, and that's something that could definitely really help the CFL, and something they should be constantly investing more money in, is
the partnership with the CIS, and especially in the exposure television broadcasting end of things.
I'm confused. You're telling me that the Canadian draft already took place?
No.
I just want players.
I'm talking about the NFL draft, which he has been speculated, will be taking a fifth round.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I'm confused. Did I miss the Canadian draft? Oh, I don't care where he's drafted in the NFL draft, because number one, he isn't drafted in the first round. I shouldn't say that, because actually I'm wrong. It'll have impact. How he's drafted in the NFL, I guess, will have impact on how he's drafted in the CFL. Do you think they'll slide together, or do you think that the lower he goes, the higher he'll go in the CFL? I'm kind of inclined to think that the lower he goes in the NFL, the higher he's going to go in the CFL. Does that make any sense?
We are talking about that offensive lineman, right?
Laurent Duvernay-Tardif of McGill, offensive lineman.
That's right. You know what? I believe he might end up going third, maybe fourth round.
In the NFL?
Yep.
Which makes him a serious participant in the CFL.
Yeah, for sure.
In the NFL. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's
a high enough pick to be given a good chance.
Yeah, offensive linemen are real easy to come by, man. You know, for the NFL guys, they get free agent rookies and they throw them in a starting lineup. You know what I'm saying? So, if he get drafted in the fourth round, at least he has a good chance of sticking and being a player
on the practice roster.
No, on a 50-man free roster.
Yeah, so you figure
pending,
he could be in the
pending who drafts him.
Yeah,
and who needs
him? Realistically, who in the CFL, what GM is going to draft him?
I've said third round, and my dad this morning I asked him, and he said late second round.
I figure the second. I'm going to go a little earlier in this middle to early second round, because I think he'll get out of the first round. That's a given. Just because of how good he is, he's going to slip out of the first round, because the teams want a guy that's going to help them in the first round, that they can use, mm-hmm. not wait for.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. I don't even know if that makes sense, but you know, Tardif, you know. He's another one of those great Canadian players who basically one team's going to draft them. We don't know how low. You know, it's going to be a game of reverse chicken, right? Instead of who jumps in late, just before everybody else.
I had a comment concerning Quinn Smith. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about a failed drug test. And,
uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this is... The mention was that there's some dirty pool when it comes to the Quinn Smith failed drug test. Maybe Chu joining Toronto echoes the comments made by Jim Barker. Does Quinn go to number 6 overall? Whatever that means, or somebody can understand.
Well,
right now
he's fourth. He's ranked fourth by the scouting bureau.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, that does mean that he has a good reputation, and as a defensive lineman, gosh, that's a good commodity. And I say for the same reason that Mike said offensive linemen in the NFL, you know, there's a lot of them, and you know, mm-hmm. Canadian offensive linemen are, you know, it's a go-to position for Canadian players. Now, defensive lineman, that helps you with the ratio a little bit.
For sure. It's becoming more popular in NFL to seek out Canadian D linemen. It's really about quick feet and a big body. I mean, and, you know, we have lots of Canadians with that attribute.
And it's very handy.
So, Serge, what do you say about this? There's some question to this failed drug test, or the fact that he actually did
whether it'll drop him to 6th overall. That's the
okay. I'm just reading it in the Montreal Gazette right now.
Right. Okay.
So it was steroids that he got caught with.
Oh, I'm surprised, Chris, you haven't jumped on the Riders yet and said that they'll draft
them. Well, it hadn't even come to my mind, Kelly, but yeah.
It's been a long week.
Good one.
I think everything is.
Here we go. I'll post this one up. Got to have this one.
Well, you know, sixth is a nice number if you're an Argo fan.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I think that's the idea, is that maybe the Argos are going to go after him, so we'll see.
You know what? He's what we need. Toronto needs some good news on defense. They really do. We need some good news on defense. Burke is great news, but, you know, unfortunately, as yet, I haven't seen him. I don't put much faith in him being able to intercept the ball or sack a quarterback.
Burke? Wow, his defenses are pretty aggressive. And you know,
No. I meant him personally.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Right? He coaches. I'm looking for players. That was just a joke. I'm looking for – Burke's a great coach. Don't get me wrong. And the guys here know that, that I think highly of him.
Coach. Defensive.
Well, he's a good defensive coach. He didn't do too well as a head coach, but, you know. He
wasn't with the right team, but there.
Yeah, well, you know what? Hey, we're going to find out how brilliant, you know, a job the GM in Winnipeg's done this year, you know, when that team is, you know. The fans are staying away in droves when it comes to Winnipeg. They're very unhappy with the team.
I don't know. They got 20,000 season tickets. It's a bit of a – it went down a bit, but, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the wrong – like, they're becoming disenchanted, and I hope that they can do a better job this year. So, yeah, so then the Canadian draft comes in, and we've got players here that are part of the future that you want to build on. How often are these picks – starters in the CFL? Maybe half the first rounders will start. Maybe half the first rounders will start. A handful, six, five, six.
Well, you know what? If you look at some of the teams, like BC, Saskatchewan, they're pretty set on a lot of their starters. Maybe set for maybe one or two.
We're not set a Canadian, though, Mike, and that's, you know, we're looking for defensive players as well. We lost Greg Newman, Craig Butler, good kid out of Regina, Zach Evans, who's our Keith Scholigan. You know, we lost some beef, and it's all Canadian.
Yep.
Oh yeah, you did.
So
yep,
even
you're right.
even a DB, I'd see us drafting. I don't know. We're gonna need to, you know, now that you say who's gonna start. I think Saskatchewan actually at least one. They're going to need to start, just out of need for the ratio's sake. We're thin.
He's a big kid, this Quinn Smith. And, yeah, I see here, you know, it's, you know, steroids, football.
Who's surprised?
You know, am I being a jerk by not being surprised?
One thing about steroids is I knew guys that took it to gain a competitive edge, and, you know, they're just kids, and you know, and really, when it comes down to it, this guy's 22 years old. You know, people are, you know, looking for that competitive edge. That's the nature of competition. And I really think a single offense, I mean, if he went and did it again, then you'd have to question who he is. But I think a single offense.
You have to question him failing a test 2 weeks before the draft. I mean, come on.
Stupidity, right?
You're going to do something like this. You do it when you're, you know, a year ago when you're trying to do something. Well, you should be clean as a whistle right now, 2 weeks before the draft.
Don't
you either
don't
made it or you've already made it or not? You know, and he has.
Yeah, but Christopher, don't
about him.
Well, before you start calling him stupid, don't forget, guys, that when it comes to drug testing, it's a cat and mouse game. You know, drugs are invented, then they're used. Then people find out what the drug is. Then they figure out how to make it show up in a test, and they start testing for it. So, you know, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of guys getting away with doing drugs because they're doing them when they're brand new, and the tests aren't there to identify them yet. And then you get the guy who, you know, the first guy that gets caught, you know, and then the rest of them go, oops, they know this one now. Now we got to go to a different one. That's essentially what, you know, steroids and drug testing, that's the game that drug testing is. It's what the Olympics battle all the time. And don't forget, the CIS and the CFL have an agreement. Now, this kid's not in trouble, right? He's not in trouble yet. But what it is now is now the radar's up. Now, because he gets caught because of the combine, that CIS run, that's an agreement that the CFL has with CIS. Now this guy has to be careful because now he gets tested automatically if and when he's drafted and plays in the CFL. He becomes a guy that has to be tested. He knows he's going to end up being tested.
A target.
Yeah, he's got a giant target on him now, you know, which is a good thing. It'll help him not to use them. Because I really don't think, you know, other than some suggest that it helps in recovering from injuries, you know, helps you in practice, preparation, and all that stuff, really it doesn't do that much good for you.
Well, he's sending emails to all 9 CFL teams, according to TSN.ca, informing them of the positive tests and formally apologizing. I accept full responsibility. I did not properly research the contents of supplements I obtained online, and I will accept the consequences of my actions. And he asked that his B sample be tested and is awaiting those results.
Good.
So. Yeah, that's the carbon copy answer for everybody, though. I mean, that's not a very personal statement, and you know, I'm not going to hold it against him either, but, you know, let's just say it for what it is. That's kind of carbon copy.
Well,
there
are other carbon copy answers that could be given as well, like the test is screwed. You know, I mean, there's lots of ways
true.
To go with this. You know, there's lots, you know, there are lots of go-to answers, right?
It was my trainer.
Right, it wasn't me.
Remorse is the right angle, I guess.
Yeah, he's doing the best he can.
Somebody juiced my Gatorade bottle.
He's doing the best, you know, let's hit the high notes here. He admits he did it. He doesn't say it was an accident, which is another go-to move. You know, he did it. He did say it was an accident, but he is saying, I went to take supplements, didn't realize that stuff was in there. And would it be surprising that people who sell stuff online aren't going to promote the fact that, hey, if you take this, you could get busted? I mean, they're not going to come up with that stuff too freely because they're in the business of selling this stuff. You know, I can see
that. If his B sample also tests positive, his football career would be over.
Into a health type of thing, into a sports athlete knows exactly what he's putting into his body at every minute of every day.
It's his job.
It's his job. It's his life. It's everything about him right now. He knows the content of everything that he sticks in his body.
Yep. Or he should. Or he should.
And if he don't, something is wrong. Mm-hmm.
Well, the temptation to use that kind of stuff is severe. It is tough. And he's only human. And we all make mistakes. And here we go again. You either decide that the guy deserves to be forgiven and given another chance, which now comes with a daily visit from the CFL. Give me your P test. You know, he's got a giant target on him. So, you know, now he's at the point where he can't make excuses anymore. Now he has to really know what's going in his system, and he can't use that excuse anymore. So, you know, this could drop him down more than 2 positions, in my opinion.
It's going to drop him down. But
maybe the next round.
You know,
the Argos can have.
And he deserves a second chance. I mean, hey, he made a mistake. Now he just got to pay the consequences. And next time, move forward on, you know, thinking about what you're going to put in your body. Coming up where he's keep passing these, filling these drug tests, then he has a problem.
What's the difference between a guy who does something and gets caught and a guy who does something and doesn't get caught?
Guilt and innocence.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, you know, he's unluckily, he's been caught. And you know, he becomes the lesson for the other players, and I'm sure he's getting a couple of emails from guys, what supplements were you taking? You know, and then he'll tell them, and then they'll go, are you kidding me? And those guys might get lucky and not use those supplements, because we've seen people, at the Olympics be taken off an important game. I look back at the hockey, and a player took cough medicine and it showed up as a banned substance. So, you know, there is the, in my opinion, the innocent stupidity, you know, the innocent ignorance, if you will. I believe that happens. I believe some people, I mean, as much as Christopher, you know, it's his job to know what he puts in his system, he also has to trust the label, and he also has to trust, you know, his judgment on what he's picking to take, you know. It doesn't necessarily have to be something where he goes, oh, this is a banned substance, I'm going to take it. Because if a more, mm-hmm. that would make him stupid, you know. If he knew it was a banned substance, that is totally stupid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all know they're all testing. The CIS has an agreement. You know, when they go to the combine, they pee into a cup. What do you think they do it for? You know? So I'm gonna say that this guy did something that he didn't intend to do. But, you know, he has to pay the price. So now he drops down
the price. He's going to drop down the draft, pay the price, move on, let him go ahead and pay for his mistakes, give him a second chance. But just don't let it happen again.
Well, he's in the system now, right? There's the system that's it, you know, and there's a system that the Players Association, I guess, agrees with. Usually that's something that players' associations have to agree with, you know, and it'll be negotiated. A new version of that will be negotiated while they're negotiating. And I'm waiting for this MLSC announcement, but it isn't going to happen until the negotiations are done. And I really thought that those guys would come to an agreement this week.
You know what? I'm trying to think who said that last week. It was one of the guys that said it.
Me.
That they probably already came to agreement and said that they probably just pushing it on, you know, for a little hype, whatever. I mean,
oh,
I
remember
I believe they got something done.
That's pretty stupid, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean,
I would think so,
if
too.
If that came out that was actually true, that they were withholding an agreement because they didn't think it was the right time to say it, I mean, I'd be upset. Because maybe I'm not
right.
Like John. Maybe I'm not like John, and I don't want to buy airline tickets to Winnipeg if I'm not sure there's going to be a game. Maybe I'm not like John. God bless John. You know, he's willing. Mm-hmm. He's willing to trade going to the game to holding a sign. Me, I would rather go to the game or stay at home. Those are my two options.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you there, Frank.
You know what I mean?
Me too, 100%. I am.
You want me to go to Winnipeg? Sign an agreement. Tell me that game's going to happen. Guarantee me that game's going to happen because I don't have that kind of money to throw around, which brings me back to the thing where, you know, we're fans and we have a limited budget and you know, that's the way it goes. You know, baby, get this over with because, you know, I'd love to go to Winnipeg. I want to go to Winnipeg, but I'm not risking buying an airline ticket that will get me to some place where there's no game.
Uh-huh.
I ain't that rich.
You're absolutely right. Oh, for sure.
I hate to have to explain that to my wife. You bought the ticket and you didn't know the game was going to happen?
Right.
Yep. Well, there's always Polo Park Mall, I mean.
Exactly, you know.
Or the Forks, or, you know, the Leo Mole Sculpture Garden.
There you go. Well, if I'm going to Winnipeg, it's to go to a football game.
There you go.
Right? And I want to know what's happening. So I apologize to anybody out there who we've talked about going there, and if I sound like I'm not interested in buying an airline ticket to a non-game. That's it. Nothing else. So, you know, once we know it's for sure, then I'll struggle with trying to figure out how to get there and struggle with, you know, figuring out where I'm going to stay and all that stuff. But until I know there's a game, I'm not worrying about it.
Yeah,
well, that's what I said. I'm waiting for them to sign a deal, too, so I can figure out if I'm going to go to Hamilton first or go to Toronto first. I'm just trying to figure it out.
They're close enough, Mike. Yeah. So you come to one place, you're at both. You come to my
mm-hmm.
place,
like going
place
to Ottawa, and Montreal.
Between both. You come to my place, Mike, you're halfway between both.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
I've been told it's an hour and a half train between Montreal and Ottawa. Is that true?
Oh, shoot, that's even less. Montreal and Ottawa is a lot closer than that. Serge?
Are they?
Yeah, just under 2 hours. Between an hour and a half, 2 hours,
yeah.
How fast you drive.
Yeah, that's what I was told. An hour and a half by train.
Yeah.
By train. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because it's only 6 hours to Montreal from here.
Toronto, by
train,
wow, you can
all?
Do it in 4.5.
No, I meant a car.
Yeah,
train's faster by a car. And Ottawa's on the way.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, very close. You'd almost consider Montreal in Ontario. It's so close. Now don't say that to Quebec.
Hmm.
I was waiting for Serge to say something. He's not saying anything.
I didn't quite hear what you said. What was that?
No, nothing. Never mind.
Montreal is actually
okay.
Part of Ontario.
We're okay now. We're politically stable, so it's all.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. No, well, they've got a politician who says I love Canada, which you know the leader of the province says he loves Canada. When was the last time a provincial leader said that? Before Rennie Levesque, right?
Levesque.
Oh yeah, Charest was in there for a little while.
No, he was there.
Yes,
for
10 Captain
years.
Captain Canada. Yeah, yeah, but right. He still couldn't drum. Well, anyway, regardless, I was making a joke about Montreal not being that far from Ontario.
Right. Yeah, that's true. We're
it
not.
Isn't. It isn't that. It isn't that far from Ontario.
Oh no,
and,
it's really not. In reality, it's a lot closer because Cornwall is only an hour, and Hawkesbury.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you are. And
we're literally,
so, from Hamilton to Montreal is a seven and a half hour drive.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike?
Okay, cool.
So you could drive, and Ottawa and Toronto are in between. And both
that's not
Ottawa
even a big
and,
box of tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right?
that's like a shift for me to drive in my truck. That's a shift.
Yeah. You know, you could shift. Yeah. And it'd be in the summer and you wouldn't have to worry about snow. Or a student.
There you go. There you go. I'll be glad when they get this deal signed, man, so I can figure out which tickets I'm going to get first.
Yeah.
You know?
And just know that you and your wife have a place here if you bring your daughter. Without your daughter, you're not welcome.
Okay. Oh, Lordy. This is starting to wear thin, man, with these not, you know, coming with no type of agreement. You know, this is starting to wear thin. I mean, we're about 2.5-3 weeks away from June?
Yeah, we are.
Come on, man. Yep.
And that's training camp time.
Well, it's going to be an 11th hour thing, and it's going to hurt training camp, and it's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
But you know what? By you saying that, Chris, it's going to be a lot of training camp miss, but then just imagine if we lose a preseason game, man. It's going to be a lot of players upset that they're not going to get a chance to get looked at, and just how many people are going to get cut.
Preseason,
you know?
Is training camp, right? That is part of training camp.
In the CFL, that's
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's not a good thing.
If you lose preseason games, it just sets the league back that much further. The current season, really all guns won't be firing until week 4 if you lose a preseason game, because typically they're not firing until week 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we don't, you know, we're lucky we have 2 games, and some people suggest there should be more games. And that's just 2 looks at what? Twice as many players as you are going to end up with, because at least with the Argos, they're just under 100 guys. And there's like 43 on the active roster, guys?
Yep, 42.
42?
Yeah, no, 43.
Okay,
isn't
there's 43 guys.
I apologize.
It doesn't matter. It's all there, right? So, like, half the guys, you got 2 games to get rid of half the guys. That's you know, and about a quarter of the guys don't get a chance even to look. They get let go before the preseason game. They're probably down to about 70. And then what are you doing? Now you got 70 guys, and you got 2 games to figure out which 43 you're going to keep. You know, so 2 exhibition games is not a lot.
Yeah.
And you need it. And you're right. I mean, Kelly. And then there's more pressure on you during the season. I suggest that those 2 preseason games, for you to get to where you would be with those 2 preseason games, I bet you it takes you an extra game or two. On top of that, during the season, because the games mean so much.
Oh, for sure. That's what I was saying, is week 4, we'll be ready to go.
Yeah. I'm saying I agree with you, right? Because you can't risk putting guys in you don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're putting your quarterback in, with goodness knows, unless you have a set offensive line, you're putting him in danger. Great way to learn that you got the wrong guy in the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your quarterback hobble off the field. And you know, the physical, the physical punishment that you got to take in an exhibition game is a lot less severe than it is in a regular season game. I mean,
yep, it is.
You know, it's almost like an unwritten rule. You know, it's exhibition, guys. But how do you tell somebody that, you know, a win is a win, guys. That a win is a win. An exhibition loss, big deal.
Who cares?
Stakes are not near as high, right? Well, that's scary stuff. That's scary. If they don't have an exhibition season, that's scary stuff. I hope you guys are right. It seems like we have a general consensus here, 11th hour or 11:30 or 11:59. You know, a day or two into training camp, hopefully it'll be resolved, right? Because that gives them some time before the first season game.
Yeah, I hope so. Because we don't need this to drag on no longer than what it is.
So it's all a question of when, and I seem to be the only guy that said that the players have some sort of leg to stand on here. But if I go by if I go by the majority here, it is going to be a couple of games in, or we could lose a preseason game. If you guys are right, we're going to lose a preseason game.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
Hope not.
Because management's going to wait for them to give in, and I don't think they're going to give in unless it really looks like the league doesn't care.
And you know what? And like I said before, when we talked about this before, don't be surprised if a lot of these owners say, well, hey, if these guys don't want to take what we're offering, we can go to Plan B. And, you know, if they want to sign other players, Plan B players to come play, then they play for that. I mean, believe me, you're going to get them players that are going to come up and will play for them what the owners are offering. And when they get to seeing that happen, believe me, them players are going to sign that contract quickly. It'll be like what the NFL did when they did the Plan B. And they packed stadiums. They didn't lose no money. So it can't happen. It'd be a first for the CFL, but believe me, it can't happen.
Well,
it's not going to be good for anybody. Nobody wins when that happens.
No, it's not.
Okay? There's too many hurt feelings. There's too many hurt egos. There's too many everything in there. And it's a bad thing overall. It's wrong. I don't think that the negotiations are going to go that way, but sure as hell they can.
I agree 100% with Christopher because nobody wins because everybody loses.
Hmm?
Yeah.
And once the fans, like these people better understand something. You know, not every fan's like us. We're sitting here with bated breath waiting, you know, for it to all happen. And you may think that it's an advantage to have people who really care who might put up with it. But you're talking about a league that's trying to build something. And you know, part of building something is showing that you're working together, you know.
Look at how this is going to affect Winnipeg, you know, or you know, new stadium, terrible team last year, they're on the fans.
Ottawa.
You know, just Ottawa, brand new, Hamilton, new stadium. This just does not fare well for any of those cities, any of those teams. Right, but in the long run, they got to hold their ground. So, you know.
And then you've got organizations such as MLSE that we know have expressed interest, have interest in one of their teams, and we also know that they're a pretty smart organization, and they know full well that for them to be involved in the CFL, they'd like to know what they're in for, and that's what this negotiation is going to establish. Which is another reason why the league wants to get a long-term agreement going, you know.
Okay, Frank, are you trying to tell me that there is not already an agreement in principle between David Braley and the MLSE?
I'm saying there is, but I believe that there is probably...
Do you think it's going to change with how the CBA comes out?
Well, let's just say that
Come on.
If you don't know
Give
for
me
sure,
a head of shake
John,
there.
Well, hey, listen, John.
No, I'm Christopher.
John.
Don't
Christopher.
Call me John. That's
sorry.
Don't call me John.
Okay, John. Christopher.
Don't
Christopher.
Call me John.
I was thinking about John when I said that. You know, it is, you know, unfortunately cut and dried. When it comes to big companies, they have expectations, and they want to know what they're into. I'm not saying there isn't an agreement. I'm not saying there is. But I do say that the league has to be attractive to people who have money to spend. I mean, you guys have taught me this important lesson where you've got me to agree with you guys, that it's a lot easier to play in the CFL than it is to own a team. Right?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that what you guys all told me last week and have been hammering into me about, you know, being an owner is a lot tougher than being a player, which is why the players
always
have
is.
To take a step back, right? Well, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got if you believe yourself, then the new owners are going to know that too, right? Or
okay.
prospective owners.
Frank, stop for a second. Who
I'm
are
stopping.
The owners of MLSE? Rogers?
Rogers, TSN, and 10 or 12% Larry Tannenbaum.
Do you believe that the difference in the collective bargaining agreement, the way that if it went in the way the players went or the way that it the owners wanted to go in would make an ounce of difference to the bottom line of those companies?
It doesn't matter either way that it happens. No, in fact, it is. It is. It's important to them because it affects their bottom line.
To Rogers?
Yeah, and well...
No, it doesn't.
MLSC, which is the combination of all of them. Does it matter to them?
I understand that. No,
we're going to agree here. Here's how I'm going to tell you. They want the players to think it matters. How's that for an answer?
Fine.
It becomes a
That's
bargaining
what I'm saying
wedge,
is I believe that the deal's already in place.
So
and
do
we're just
I.
Waiting,
and
this is a bargaining chip, and this is an argument.
Yeah. Well, we're saying the same thing. I'm just trying not to put words.
Brayley's not going to lower his price because the players win.
No. That's not what I'm saying. But they don't want to get in because all it does is it increases the bargaining position for the players. Don't you think?
Okay, fine.
If the Argos announced they were bought by MLSC, would that be good for the owners or good for the players, or just nothing?
Well, but that was my point at the beginning where I was saying is the deal's already in place and they're holding it back. You said that would be a bad thing for them to be doing. Of course, it wouldn't be a bad thing. That's exactly what they're doing. The agreement is in place between MLSC and Brayley. It's there. It's done. I would.
Put it this way, it's like another... It's like
sitting in the lawyer's office somewhere.
They're not announcing it
because they don't want it to affect the negotiations.
Yeah, right, we agree. It's like another new stadium for the players. It's another reason why they deserve more money. There's more money in the CFL. To prove that there's more money in the CFL. And that's why they want it to be long-term as well. I think. Who cares? As far as I'm concerned, who cares? I don't care about that. I'm only saying it because it's just one of the linchpins, you know, for the announcement. And then the announcement, then we can move forward. We Argo fans can, okay, we're owned by MLSC. Fantastic. Aren't I happy? Christopher, okay. Is that Manasseh now?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Who just came in?
Hello?
It is Manasseh. See? I'm not crazy. Hey, Manasseh, how's it going?
What's up, Manasseh?
Well,
it's going good. How you guys doing?
That's not a scheming confirmation.
What's up, man?
We were just debating. We were debating something, and something that. What do you think of the CFL this week? We've got the NFL draft. We've got the CFL draft coming up. Things are starting to really shake off the tree right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the CFL, there's not much going on the CFL side other than just a couple guys got released, but Would you guys talk about Johnny Manziel getting drafted or Jody?
Yeah, we did. You want to you know, the fact that he dropped. And it
no,
didn't
I just
surprise.
Think it's good. He went to the perfect spot. Like Cleveland seems like a good landing spot for him.
Yeah, they do tend to draft quarterbacks that don't go anywhere. They have a history of that. The last four, is he the fourth or fifth quarterback that they've drafted that in the first round it hasn't worked out?
I don't know. I just to me it seems like Cleveland's like what Toronto was back in 2012. Like this team that had this great history in the past that's been terrible for years, and the fans just sort of lost interest. And they've been needing a guy like that just to get some energy back into the franchise, because Cleveland's been irrelevant since they came back in '99.
Yeah, they're less dog pound, more dog getting pounded.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's going to sell a lot of they're going to sell a lot of jerseys. That's one thing Cleveland is going to do, just like Denver did when they drafted Tebow.
So is he a big money player, as they're all suggesting? I know Kelly thinks he is. He's a big money player, Kelly? Oh, I lost Kelly. Kelly's gone. Well, he didn't message
me like
back.
I said, Frank, I don't think so. He's going to get leveled, and once he take that good hit, that welcome to the NFL hit, it's it. This done.
Yeah.
You know, his weaknesses is that he scrambles because he can't see over the offensive line. I mean, Manziel is, what, 5'9", 5'10", at best? Trying to look over 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", linemen. That's the reason why he scrambles to throw the ball, because he can't see over the top of the line.
Dang.
Yeah, it's Doug Flutie all over again.
Yep. He'd be perfect.
And he had Mike Evans. He had Mike Evans to throw to. So if you throw it to Mike Evans' way, I mean, you have a 6'4", 6'5", college guy that can go up and get it over a 5'9", 5'10", defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel look good.
Speaking of looking good or not looking good, well, what'd you guys think of those new red black jerseys? I can be honest.
Oh, man. Woo. I think
there was no surprises
with the red trim. It's going to look good with my red and black Nikes. The black one is going to look good with my red and black Nikes.
Wow.
There you go.
For real? Is that like the consensus in the room? Everybody likes them?
No, I think it's just too much. There's too much black in the league now. You know, everybody the go-to color now is black for the uniform. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's too much black in the league. Huh?
And that's not what I meant. And don't say that. That's exactly what I meant. You are bad, man. You are horrible. Well, look, Calgary has the black uniform. BC came out with the one that everybody loves. You know, with the orange letters I mean, Hamilton has the black jerseys now. They have the pajamas
pajama
too.
Ones too.
They have
though.
The pajamas too. Yeah. I'm waiting for the Argos to come up with a black jersey.
But when you look at those red black jerseys, it's like you look around the league, you know, Hamilton, Toronto, they got that old school kind of look that, you know, it's kind of a nice clean look. And it's like you look at the NFL this year, all these teams are coming out with these futuristic brand new uniforms. I don't know if you guys seen what they're doing, but it's kind of a little over the top. And it seems like the red blacks got stuck in the middle, and then it just came out like crap. Like it looks so cheap, man. It looks like something that you would see like a high school team, like they had to put together a fundraiser, you know, selling cookies and chocolate bars to save enough money to get. Like that's wow.
You know, you're right to a degree. You know what I don't like is I don't like the helmet color. The helmet should be red with black. The white is just way too like. Contrast.
White?
You know what I mean? Like, I know it's probably
too much white, but you know what
home,
though? That might just be the first year jersey. They might come up with something new next year for the second year. You know, you got your what they call it, your expansion jerseys. I guess that's what they call it.
I'd like to see more red new uniform. I'd like to see more red new uniform.
Definitely.
Yep.
I just thought, like, you know, when you look at college football and like what they're doing in the NFL. Even in the arena leagues, like, you see these really nice, flashy uniforms, and it's like they no creativity whatsoever. I mean, that's like as generic as it could have possibly went.
Hey, well, I tell you what, the LA Kiss show did put put something into their jerseys and their home field, man. Oh my goodness,
that is really nice.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy with the with the flames on the visor to match the helmet?
Man, yes.
Oh, that's great.
Man, they really put some money into that, the uniforms and into that turf. Period. I mean, they got the best turf in all arena football.
They playing in Staples Center?
No, they're playing at some convention center because arena football AFL had shortened down some of the arenas because the rent was so high, so they went to lower venues.
Oh, okay.
Maybe sit about 8,000 to 10,000 people instead of a 25,000-seat arena. You know what I'm saying? It's going to cost them more money and not selling a lot of tickets to cover that rent. So they kind of, you know, lowered the venues a little bit so to kind of even out the money scale.
Wow.
Yeah, the less expenses is more profit.
Yep, there you go.
Makes sense.
So you guys were talking about MLSC. Anything new? They announced anything?
No. Well, we were just having a debate as to I think Christopher and I ended up agreeing. They're not going to announce buying the Argos until the deal is struck, because announcing that MLSC buys the Argonauts is just another example of a new stadium for the players to use as, you know, hey, you guys are doing a lot better than you're saying. You know, MLSC becomes a bargaining chip for, in my opinion, becomes a bargaining chip for the players. They're
so
involved.
So, what are your thoughts on the all these reports saying it looks like they're going to be, the players are going to be skipping training camp and we might end up with a late start?
Well, I said that I was planning on going to Winnipeg, and I'm not buying a flight to Winnipeg until I know there's a game going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't have the money to hold a sign like John says he's willing to do.
I know that's right.
Wow.
Right,
Kelly,
and that's
you know Carm Carteri, the play-by-play guy. Is Kelly there?
No, he's not.
We lost Kelly.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Well,
I tried calling.
Carm is he's basically a play-by-play guy for the Riders, and he's like really connected in the league with a lot of the player, you know, the player reps for the Players Union. And basically, what he was saying on the radio was that it looks like these guys are almost definitely going to strike. Like, they're so far apart that they don't see this thing ending anytime soon. So, I don't know, man. They're saying the preseason is pretty much gone almost for sure. And we'll be lucky to kick off week one.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it sucks, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can say the same thing. I spoke to somebody whom I trust. And they really, the players feel that the league has more to give.
Wow. And especially with Ottawa, you know, their first year, like, this is just a bad look, you know, like, I mean, they're lucky that their first home game isn't until July 26th, so that gives them a couple weeks, but that would be a terrible look for the league if, you know, that game had to get canceled.
Well, that's why they mm-hmm. want a long agreement.
And there
that's
is
why
no-
they-
There's not going to be any makeup games.
They
have said that, eh?
Right? Yeah,
they can't. But
the
Grey Cup is on the day that it is, and that's the way it is, and so be it.
So you think they'll cancel the whole season? Is that even a possibility?
No, that'd be suicide.
Oh.
That would be. You might as well, you know what. Kohan might as well throw the keys on his desk and leave, because if that happens. This isn't the NHL.
Oh, there's going to be a lynching.
This isn't the NHL.
There'll be a lynching. We'll be going to Toronto and lynch those son of a bitches.
Yeah.
You know, it's only because...
But I don't know
if
lynching is like the appropriate term considering, but go ahead.
No, it's all because of one game. More than any other game in Canada, more than any other game, and I'm talking Stanley Cup, I'm talking everything. The Grey Cup game, if that got canceled, there's no coming back from that, because it's built up as the thing, you know, in Canada. Not just in sports, you know, I'm not talking about sports, I'm talking about in Canada when it comes to sports. That is the premier event in this country.
But
take that away from Canadians, and now you'll lose...
Yeah. Well, is TSN still going to pay the owners if, let's say, this?
I don't know. There's probably
the
an insurance policy. There's probably some sort of insurance policy,
like,
right?
That's got to be the owner's like wild card. Is if they're going to get that TSN money guaranteed, they may just go ahead and go let the players cancel the whole year because they'll be covered financially if they, you know. So I don't know.
How do you think TSN will feel on their first contract with the CFL? The CFL doesn't come through.
I don't know, man. You know,
especially,
you think,
you know what
as
else,
a corporation, Benassi, they're going to agree
but Benassi,
with it.
But, you know what else?
Gonna,
Benassi, you know what else? I'm going to cut you off because I want to get this part out. Right now, TSN can't afford to lose any broadcast stuff. They just lost all of the hockey. So, you know, can you imagine after losing all the hockey and then lose the CFL? I mean, TSN might as well throw the keys on the janitor's desk.
Wow.
Because if they don't have
they don't have NHL
networks
now.
TSN only has two.
No, they're about to expand to five. This fall. So they need the CFL to just have something to cover. Otherwise, it's going to be all American stuff.
Well, this is stupidity in Canada. This is stupidity. All these stations. How many poker games can we have on television at once?
Right. I mean, the positive.
Hey, we can have a lot of poker.
Dave Randorf, you know, the guy from the panel.
He's
tweeting out that basically, you know, they're going to have all kind of new CFL coverage. There's going to be all these CFL shows. Like you see on ESPN, you know, how they have NFL Live and stuff like that. They're going to expand their CFL program.
So I guess what I said a little while ago makes sense then. The CFL, if the CFL doesn't come through with TSN relying on that kind of stuff.
They're toast.
The league is crazy.
It's not a crazy thing. Yeah.
The league is crazy.
They'll take them to court over that because that's $40 million that they'll try to get that money back for sure.
The nice thing about TV networks, and Manasseh, I've heard this come out of your mouth too. I've heard it out of everybody here. I know everybody's thought it. Networks tell leagues what to do. They don't have to take them to court.
Hmm. Yeah, true.
Baby.
That's a given.
Baby.
And look, and to add on to what I was saying earlier, y'all think it wouldn't happen, but before an owner wants to lose money or a league lose a season, believe me when I tell you, if they have to go to Plan B players, they will do it. Because if you think about the owners, we don't care about the fans. They care about their money. And if they figure they're going to lose a lot, they will do it. They will do it. It's the first time for everything if it be in the CFL, but don't discount it. Because when they did that in the NFL, the owners made money. They did not lose a step. And them players signed that agreement quickly, in a heartbeat.
But doesn't Edmonton and Saskatchewan technically don't have owners? The owners are the fans or the shareholders?
Right.
Actually, I have a share in the
and
Riders.
Winnipeg.
Team.
And
so,
Winnipeg.
I'm an owner. I'm a part owner of the Riders. So.
Yeah.
Now, Winnipeg,
I think they have
an owner now. But Saskatchewan and Edmonton are still community owned. So, you know, that plays into it, too.
So it's Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg still? Okay. I thought Winnipeg might have been bought by someone. Okay.
Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, and no community teams.
Yeah, like I said, I have a share. I'm a part of it.
Hey, listen, if they strike, guys, they'll all have community owners because they'll all be in receivership.
I'll assume that the Riders are going to send, you know, letters to their shareholders saying that we're going to do this. Do you agree? And then I don't know. Personally, I got nothing. So
say what? We're not going to. You're not. We just won the Grey Cup. What are you talking about?
No, I mean, if the Rider shareholders are technically the owners of the team, then they should be consulted as to, you know, what's the deal with the players?
That's not
going to
happen, sir.
And
that is
not
going to happen.
And your shares aren't really worth anything. You're just paying for the right to say that you're an owner. You're not really
right.
I don't think it's a real.
They're worthless.
But there's no owner per se in Saskatchewan, right?
No, I guess not.
No, they have a board that's ran by Roger Brandvold and Jim Hobson. Basically, call all the shots.
And then win it.
Concern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit different situation than other leagues.
Believe me. If they call all the shots, regardless if it's community-owned, they're going to do what they got to do for that team not to lose no money. That's the most important thing of any community-owned team or sole owner. They're not going to lose no money, so they're going to do what they got to do to put players on the field to make some of that money back up. It might not be all of it, but they can at least make 90% of it up, and 90% is good.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So believe me, it's the first time for everything, and believe me, if they do go on strike and they do plan B, watch how quick them players going to sign that contract after about 3 or 4 weeks, no paycheck. Just watch.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, guys who just got released. Like, you think Hamilton just let go of Brandon Isaac and Andrea Jones. Like, there's a lot of decent players out there that just got cut, and all these guys would be more than happy to sign up and be replacement guys, you know. So it won't be hard for them to replace most people.
Yep. So
well,
I don't want to find out.
I really don't want anything to do with this kind of stuff going on. It's ridiculous.
But you know what, Frank? If these players keep being stubborn like that, I mean, I don't want to see it happen either. But you have to really look at it realistically, though. You know, as far as from the owner's standpoint, they don't want to lose that money.
Let me be clear about something. I don't have a clue. I'm just sitting here talking, telling my opinion, which is totally meaningless. Trust me, I know how meaningless my opinion is on this situation because, you know, for whatever reason, the decision's going to be made whether I like it or not. And it's not going to be based on my logic. You know, it's going to be based on something really personal, profit and long-term profit. And in the case of players, being able to get paid in as much as I can possibly get and feel as though that's what I'm getting rather than getting less of what I should be getting. You know, that's that has nothing to do with me. Like I said, you know, will it hurt me? Personally, I'll tell you, maybe we can all answer in our own personal way. How will a strike affect me? Here's how a strike will affect me. I have spent the last 2 years and change talking about how wonderful a league the CFL is and how wonderful the players are and how approachable they are and how down-to-earth they are. And when they play in a league where we have all these Canadian teams and we all get to see a champion from Canada, all this kind of stuff, they go on strike. The players are going to be the bad guys no matter what. It isn't going to be the owners. And the reason it won't be the owners is because people in general, we're trained to think that players are overpaid in sports. And they have to carry that. That's the albatross that CFL football players got to carry, is for the most part, for the less knowledgeable, automatically people are going to, that don't even know the CFL, don't have a clue about the CFL, will automatically blame the players. So for me, as a fan, it's going to hurt me to see them get hurt because there's no choice but them get hurt. The owners, you know, in this case, have sold us on the idea that they don't make money, and it's hard to say they're wrong or to disagree with them. We know that for the most part, some are making money. We know Saskatchewan's making money. We know Winnipeg's making money, regardless of what the you know, what Cohan said. We know BC's making money, you know, so, and we know MLSE's going to buy the Argos, so they'll be making money because MLSE doesn't do nothing but make money. So, you know, it's going to hurt me on behalf of the players because the players are going to take it on the chin if this goes south, in my opinion. How about you, Serge? How do you see it playing out if they go on strike? How does it personally affect you?
It doesn't affect me in any way because personally I'm sort of prepared for it in the sense that if it happens, it happens. And
you don't feel
don't
there's any blame?
Go,
you don't feel that there's any – you don't have any concerns with fallout from – let's say, losing two exhibition games?
No, not really, because
that's good.
The season's long to begin with, so I don't mind, really. Might as well just get started right off the bat, you know, have a short training camp and start the season. So, now, for me, it's not the end of the world. It's not a big deal. And knowing that once this is done, it's done, like, for a while. We're not going to hear about this again for a while. So might as well just get it done right for a while, for, you know, at least 5 years, and that's it, so.
See, I'm concerned because of, well, it doesn't matter. I had my chance. Mike, you go.
Yeah, I'm concerned, man, because, shoot, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do with my vacation time. You know, shoot, I'm trying to go to Toronto Hamilton, man, for some vacation time to see a football game that might not even happen, you know? So, hey, I want them to get this done. And to me, with these players, one of my money, you know what this reminds me of? It takes me back to the whole Chris Williams deal, where he wanted more money and it wasn't going to play for $50,000?
Yep.
$45,000. What season? Okay, it was something like that. This where it always brings me back to this Chris Williams deal, man, that these guys are fighting for more money. You know, so, and I do agree with Chris, being an owner, I mean, you should have to show these dudes the books, but, you know, if you're making money, don't lie and say that you're not. You know what I'm saying? So they need to get something done, man, because, you know, if I can't catch no CFL in summertime, man, I'm going to be lost, dude. Do you know how it's going to be sitting in the truck stops at night not watching no CFL football? Come on, man. Shoot.
I'm thinking I might have to watch baseball.
Oh, man. Come on.
Man, that's like watching paint dry.
No, seriously, I might have to watch baseball.
Thank you.
What a
shame. No, that'll never happen.
That's
summer
lacrosse.
Yeah, well. Summer lacrosse.
The Jays are doing good, actually, right now.
There you go.
Philly.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's still hockey in Toronto. Marlies are playing in Chicago tonight. So.
Yep. There's always hockey in Toronto.
Yeah, we're not going to talk baseball. Let's continue on. Who's next?
Okay. You, Chris.
I got some interesting
okay,
news.
Okay,
Manasseh. Some CFL news. Basically, I was reading on robpeterson.com. It's a great blog for all CFL fans. Just a quick plug. But talks about Corey Sheets with that drug charge he got in Saskatchewan with possession. And they're saying that charge, they're expecting the Raiders to probably release him within the next week or two, which now brings up the question, does he come back to Saskatchewan? And now the news out there is they're just questioning how much they're going to pay him. And then along with that, in Calgary, there's a report coming out that Drew Tate's throwing arm won't be ready for the season, and some think he may not be ready the whole year. And reports are that John Huffnagel is potentially going to work out a trade to bring Kevin Glenn back to Calgary. So I don't know. What
were
your thoughts on that?
Well, listen.
You know what that says?
Let's finish. Let's finish the round, Manasseh. Finish what the question that was on the table. Let's. You and Christopher didn't get a chance to discuss it. How will the strike impact on you?
Oh, I mean, I was just really looking forward to a great season, and it's going to be unfortunate. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, we all got other lives we got to live, so it's not going to be that bad.
Your turn, Christopher.
Our CFL is group is coming apart at the seams. If we don't get football now, I got 3,200 people that are going to cut each other's heads off. Okay? Plain and simple. We
it's
got wars breaking out daily.
You're right, for real.
There you go.
We need some football to settle these guys down, okay? We cannot miss an ounce of training camp. We cannot miss a preseason game, and be damned if we miss a regular season game. No.
That's where I'm coming from. You know, like it's one thing for people who aren't interested, but for those of us that are crazy addicts, we're building ourselves up for the preseason. We're building ourselves up for that. Like everybody's getting emotionally more, you know, is it June yet? Is getting to be a tagline on every comment, you know?
We're counting hours, not days or months. We're counting hours now.
Absolutely. And it would be a horrible thing for our group to not, we'd all be angry looking for somebody to blame. And of course, most of us would blame Saskatchewan fans, especially because Kelly's not in the room.
Well,
because
it's their fault.
The Kevin Glenn thing. Very quickly, Christopher. Kevin Glenn, back to Calgary. We only have you know what? We'll go over. Let me make this announcement. Okay, in about 2 minutes, we're going to cut off. For those of you that are listening live, you'll have to restart, and you'll be able to listen to the recorded part of the program because we're going past 2 hours. We're going to give Manasseh a little airtime, and he likes throwing stuff for us to kick around. So let's kick around the fact that Kevin Glenn could end up back in Calgary. How funny is that, Christopher?
It's kind of ironic that they didn't protect him, and he did so well for them last year. They took him, you know, top number one team in the league, this, that, and everything else. They don't protect him. He gets kicked to the curb, goes off to Ottawa, gets abused, comes back. If Huffnagel's bringing him into Calgary, he better be prepared to open up the purse strings. because he's coming in as number one, and he better be making number one money. If he ain't making $400K next year, this year coming up in Calgary, he ain't showing up. And
wait,
I don't
who?
Blame him. I don't blame him. I watch him. I'll support him on that one.
Wait, who are you referring to?
Kevin Glenn.
Kevin Glenn? You think they're going to pay Kevin Glenn $400,000?
What choice do they have?
They have Bo Levi Mitchell. What are you talking about?
And,
well, okay.
And they brought in the old backup for Calvillo.
Yeah. Adrian
right,
McPherson, I understand that. They need a designated number one over there, and if Hufnagel's willing to make a play for Kevin Glenn, he's not making a play for a second-string quarterback. Glenn won't show up.
But
he wasn't
I mean,
protected.
All
he was
kicked
to the curb. Would you go back there without having money?
Yeah.
Honestly, seriously,
well, I mean,
would you go back there?
Well, what other option does he have? I mean, that's the thing.
Kevin Glenn?
Only as good as the options that you got.
Kevin Glenn have maybe two options, man. Go back to Calgary. But if he does go back to Calgary, they would have to pay him more than what they pay AD, Adrian McPherson, and the rest of them guys they got on there. And if Hufnagel is talking about bringing Kevin Glenn back, what does that say about Adrian McPherson and the rest of them guys? He don't have that confidence in the rest of them guys as he does Kevin Glenn. Or
that's a good point.
Kevin Glenn can go ahead and ask for release and maybe catch on with the NFL team as a backup somewhere. Hold the practice roster. Hold the clipboard.
Kevin Glenn in the NFL? NHL?
Yeah, better than some of the backups they have in the NFL now.
But, I mean, so do you guys think, is this the end of Drew Tate's career? I mean, are we...
Well,
the
end of Drew Tate's career, if you listen to this program at all, it happened already. It never got started.
Oh, wow.
No, if you listen to this this station, you've got the jokes about, you know, Drew Tate 2, you know? I mean, you know what? I mean, I don't like the fact that he constantly gets injured. You know, the guy can't play. Not because he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the body. You know, I mean, Manasseh, how many more times does this guy have to, you know, not be able to start where a GM's going to finally say, no matter how much he loves him when he does see him play, you know, sorry, you know, at some point somebody's body just can't handle it. It's the reality of the thing.
That's true.
This is ridiculous. I can't believe that he's out for the season already, probably.
Yeah, and it's the injury he had at the beginning of last year, like week three.
I feel sorry for the guy. Hey, listen, I feel real sorry for the guy. It's really sad. But the reality is CFL teams are here to win games, and we all know that you do it with your quarterback in the CFL on the field.
Your quarterback
has
to play.
Yeah, exactly, on the field. Your quarterback on the field.
Right.
Yeah, no.
It's a shame because he's fun to watch because he's got sort of that, you know, he's just like an improv guy out there, you know. But
dude, the guy, when he played, he just was unstoppable. Literally unstoppable. You know, as close to a
man. I remember when, Kevin Glenn was. Yeah.
Whenever Kevin Glenn.
He's having.
No, I was just saying, whenever Kevin Glenn was playing for Calgary last year, I'd find myself falling asleep every time. Whenever Drew Tate was out there, was always something exciting, something fun to watch, and he always kept them competitive. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm not a Kevin Glenn fan.
It's a sad story. It is a totally sad story. I don't know how that guy mentally can get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to go play football. I mean, come on. Nobody's taken that. I don't remember. When was the last time you've heard of a player that's had that much adversity to deal with?
I'd say Buck Pierce.
There you go. And what about Lule?
Different kind of adversity.
But see,
but they both have
that
same sort of you hit me and I'm done for the game thing. You know, like,
well,
I know
Buck Pierce.
We're not questioning their toughness. It's just their bodies
just
can't. You know?
I just think Buck Pierce is more suited to that kind of play than Tate is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
But Tate's the better
quarterback,
Pierce
took some pretty
heavy
shots to knock him out. Pierce took some real, you know, it's like that kid in that ex-BC quarterback that's in Edmonton right now. These guys get injured a lot, too. Yeah, I know who I'm talking about. These guys get hurt a lot, but they're doing a lot to get hurt. What did Tate just do to get hurt? He's just not able to recover. He's not able to recover. Nope. His body's not recovering. That's the news Manasseh brought here. There was no injury.
Yep.
We're talking about recovery time. He's needing more recovery time. Isn't that what you brought
here? That's crazy. Yeah.
You know,
that's unbelievable.
He pick up a fork with too much mashed potatoes on it, man. He's gonna spring his elbow.
That's what I just said. Yeah.
Don't make fun of him. Don't make fun of him.
I really feel sorry for the guy. It's just a small joke, but man, I'm gonna tell you what you think Adrian McPherson is thinking if they come up bringing Kevin Glenn back and he got out of his contract with the
We know he's black. We want to bring him back.
If that happens, McPherson's going to go back to the Arena League if that happens. If he has a backup Kevin Glenn, that's the ultimate insult. I mean,
Why did McPherson come here? Well, let's do it this way. Why did McPherson eventually leave Montreal? He got tired of standing in the shadow of Calvillo. Now what?
Yep.
He's going to go to Calgary and they're going to bring a new body to create a shadow over him? I agree with you, Manasseh. What the heck?
Like, he went there because he knew Tate was going to get hurt, like we all expected, and he knew Glenn was just not good enough. I think he feels like he's going to win in training camp because there's going to be an open competition, right? At this point,
and there
we
should
all
be.
Assume.
Well, and I think he's going to.
Yeah, I think he will.
But this could
change. I said all along that they brought him in to be number one. He did not come in there to be a backup quarterback. He came in there to be the number one quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders. Adrian McPherson is going to be the man.
He proved he could win.
If he does end up the starter, what do you guys think his potential is? Do you think he could be a big time player, or is he just going to be middle of the road, or what do you think?
Well, you know what? What do we have to go on?
Assuming that he's a starter.
What do we have to go on, guys? We have a couple of times when Calvillo was hurt and he stepped in. He's another version of Collaros in my mind. Lots of potential,
The pros on Adrian McPherson is when he left Montreal and went down to the Arena Leagues, he learned how to play the quarterback position to get the ball out quicker, to read the defense within seconds to make that pass. Now, that's one thing he's going to bring to Calgary as a pro. Now, his cons is don't try to do too much. Stay in your lane. Be the quarterback, get the ball out. Don't try to be the captain of the ship to do everything because you're going to fail.
So he comes back. So the difference between him, then, to be fair, I said like Collaros, is that he's gone and gotten more seasoning that we haven't experienced or seen. I haven't seen him play, outside of the Montreal experience. But the difference is that this guy spent a few years as a number one quarterback and won some big games. So, his resume is a little longer.
Yep, resume a little longer.
But if you remember,
he was able to play as a four-time starter.
Back in 2000, I think the end of 2012, he started the final game of the year against Winnipeg. It was at Winnipeg, too. And that was a game everyone thought he was pretty much having a rehearsal, it was like an interview for the Bombers to see should they pursue him in that following offseason. And he came out. He struggled, man. He completed only like 40% of his passes, only threw for like 153 yards. I think he may have had an interception. And it just there was no rhythm. He never really, so I don't know, man. I haven't seen him do anything to blow me away to say this guy's got it. But all I know that he has
and Manasseh,
a cannon
wouldn't it
for
be...
an arm. That's it.
You're right, Manasseh. And I think what you've done is you've given us the reason why he probably left Montreal. Because he realized he didn't have the experience he needed to do what he wanted to accomplish. And since he wasn't guaranteed that he was going to get it in Montreal, he looked for the nearest place and the best place for him, as we said a little earlier and as Mike described, that he did well in the Arena League. He went to the Arena League and he worked on his craft. And Calgary brought him in because they feel that he's a better quarterback than that day in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And
a progression. They're gambling on a progression.
The progression. And when Adrian McPherson came back to the CFL, the team that he was playing for, they were struggling. Tampa Bay Storm was struggling. When he left, that was it, man. They went on ahead and signed BJ, and now BJ's their quarterback. So, he perfected his craft. So we just got to make sure it turns over to a positive when the season starts or in training camp. Now, if it doesn't, it's going to be a long season. And they will have the right to put Kevin Dean in, because if he struggles, Huffnagel is not going to hesitate snatching him out.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to jump to the Kevin Glenn thing, you know, because at the same time that they may need Kevin Glenn, the other thing is that Ottawa's going to have to dump him. The longer he stays in Ottawa, the more of a negative factor he's going to become, because you know how reporters are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unhappy guy.
He didn't even show up to the mini camp. He didn't do nothing.
But it was an optional mini camp.
So just to throw it out there, let's assuming that Corey Sheets does get released based on what we're hearing. If he does come back to the CFL, and we all know he's going back to the Riders, if he does come back, do the Riders all of a sudden move up your guys' rankings as far as?
I never moved them down. I picked them to finish.
You still have him as the best in the West?
I still have him as the best in the West, even without Sheets. And the reason I do is because they have the least holes to fill. Well, I happen to think, and Christopher, you're not going to like me saying this, but I happen to think your defense, especially your D-backs, are old. And I think they're getting tired, in my opinion. That's all. I think people are going to be able to pass against you.
Right. And Frank, to counter on that, with the new pass interference, you know, rule, man, DC cornerbacks, man, they hold a lot. They're going to get a lot of pass interference calls on them, especially
Dante
when they play
Marsh,
against Saskatchewan.
Ryan Phillips, especially those two.
And I think they're just a year older.
Yep.
That's just my opinion.
How those guys play. Right, they need to be physical because they don't have the speed to keep up with like they used to when they were younger. So I don't know, man. We'll see. This is a passing game.
And now they've just basically said, hey, Ricky Ray, you know how you did last year? Can you believe you're going to throw for twice as many yards this year?
It's hard
to come up with some sort of receivers. You know, Ricky already was picking, you know, he was doing okay picking defenses apart. And this is where I'm really disappointed that Tate is hurt, because what he could have done with this new rule, good Lord.
First off, you guys are saying that this rule is going to change the game. This rule isn't going to change on average one or two plays in a game. Let's face it, the only way that this new rule, pass interference challenges, it's one of the regular challenges that a coach has. So they only get two challenges a game. So at best, it can only change two plays in a game for one team. So, yeah, they could be big plays, they could be game-changing plays, but odds are they're not going to be any different than what it is. It's not going to slow down the game, and it's not going to change it anymore. You might change the semifinal game between Montreal and Hamilton. You might change one or two of the games.
Christopher, I agree with you.
That's bullshit that this is going to change the game.
Christopher, I agree with what you just said. You're 100% right. But the part that you're missing, you're not reading the writing on the wall. The CFL has got a new referee-in-chief who wants the passing game to be more successful. Don't think that it's going to end here. And just because there's going to only be two challenges, that's how many challenges there are going to be. What I'm thinking is their intention is to make the refs call more interference. Otherwise, the challenges wouldn't be an issue. That's all I'm saying. That's where I'm coming from.
I think this is TSN had their hand all over this. And the reason is, if you guys know, once the 3-minute warning hits from that point on, there's an unlimited amount of challenges that come from the booth. And what this is designed is to get the offenses to be more aggressive, start throwing the ball down the field, and cause games, you know, like allow teams to come back, you know, by eating up a lot of yardage, being able to get in scoring position quick, and thus
interception,
create more tighter games, you know?
Think
about it. If you're Milanovic and it's 2 minutes left on the clock and it's the East Final in Hamilton, you're down a touchdown, and you know that they have they can challenge any pass interference call, or you know, if you think there is, every play you're going to call down the field, just lob it deep to Jason Barnes, let him jump in the air and try to draw contact. Boom, you know you're going to get the call every time now. So
This is television. You're right. This is television's handprint. While you were gone and while you weren't here and before you came back, the other point that I think we agree on is the fact that TSN won't let them strike for very long. TSN is relying very heavily on CFL football.
Yeah.
So, you know, the television reaches very deep into football. It's traditionally a given. And we all know that the NFL, I mean, guys, what grew the NFL more than gambling? Television.
Uh-huh. Plus them rigging their games, like they did NFC Championship game last year.
Well,
that was the most rigged game I've ever seen in my
life.
What's
the difference?
But, I mean, seriously, did you guys watch that game against Seattle and San Francisco?
Yes.
You can't tell me that.
San Francisco never had a chance. San Francisco
never
had a
chance.
They
outplayed Seattle the entire game, and the refs completely kept Seattle in the game. That was, wow.
But, you know, that's a familiar story on this show. There's always, you know, conspiracies always going on. So the CFL and TSN are tighter together now at this point, and really, the CFL cannot afford to give TSN bad press. And that's all I'm trying to say about as far as TSN's, you know, hand inside the CFL's, you know, on their pen or on their flags or on their rule book, whatever. TSN has a lot to say in how the league is run and whether they strike an agreement or not, because TSN will be telling them, guys, listen, we're building this whole thing, and you're harshing our mellow. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not
TV talks,
that,
baby.
I guarantee you, we will never see any bad Grey Cup matchups. Like no more BC Winnipeg or nothing boring. I guarantee. Watch, TSN will not let that happen. Like last year, it was so obvious that
you're ruining sports for me. You know that you're
I'm
ruining.
I'm sorry.
Sports
the West semifinal. The league stole the game from the BC Lions and gave it to the Riders. That was the most obvious.
And they took it from Montreal and gave it to Hamilton.
Is that up for debate?
I don't think that's even debatable. Like, you saw the storylines. You had, like, 50 ex-Riders showing up against the Riders in the Grey Cup. That was, like, they decided that back in week one. They knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
Well, I that bothers me.
Bad as it was the year before for the 100th Grey Cup.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, the most rigged championship I've ever seen in my life. First of all, the Ricky Ray trade goes down as the biggest travesty in the history of the CFL. Like, wow.
Like
nobody's ever made
a bad trade before.
Oh, come on,
man,
Frank.
But
bad
that,
trade.
But when that trade came up, man, Toronto played good, but man, to play against Calgary in the Grey Cup, come on, man.
Dude, that Grey Cup,
how did Calgary get to the Grey Cup? You know, BC was rolling through the season. They get into the game. And what do? Calgary scores like 3 touchdowns in the first 4 minutes because the DBs went to sleep. Like that happens in real life. No,
BC could not
go to Toronto and play Toronto in the Grey Cup. The Brayley Bowl, everybody would have been pissed at that. There's no way in hell that Calgary could beat BC.
This is silly. Come on.
It's reality. Because you're an Arsenal fan and you don't like to hear it.
Frank, I'll give you a perfect example of how the CFL will be rigged.
It's not that I don't like to hear it. Like, I get what you guys are saying. I mean, there's always a smoking gun in a game, no matter what sport. Look at last year in the Super Bowl. They almost made a big deal about a defensive back having a conversation with a receiver. It became the top story in television almost. You know, this criminal, approaches this sweethearted receiver. I mean, come on. Everybody put spin on stuff, guys. Everybody put spin on stuff.
Okay,
everybody,
but watch, Frank, I guarantee you the Grey Cup will be the BC Lions and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And you know why that is? For the next couple years, Not even that. That's a good one. I'll give it to you. But it's all about taking care of David Braley until he sells the teams, his two teams.
Oh, my
and
God.
Here's the other thing. They're going to make sure that this, one of the Southern Ontario teams is in the Grey Cup. So I guarantee you the next 3 years, the East, it will be Hamilton and Toronto back and forth. They will Montreal, Ottawa, no chance. Since they did that Southern Ontario initiative and they put that money into trying to build that up, notice that it's been Toronto and Hamilton
tell you what,
back-to-back.
I'll tell you what. I've already,
two teams that were garbage
I've already
for a
made
decade.
My opinion known
yeah.
that I believe that the odds-on favorite to be in the Grey Cup from the East is neither Toronto or Hamilton. I'll leave you to figure out who it is. And it isn't Ottawa.
Frank,
if
you're saying Montreal, I
Montreal's
guarantee you
got
Eastern
the inside
final.
Track to the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
Montreal's got
it's going to be a repeat.
It's going
the
to be
are
Montreal.
Make sure Hamilton's going to win. I guarantee you that. That's a guarantee. Bob Young lost too much money, and I guarantee you the CFL has been telling him, "Don't worry, we got
you
in 2014."
He's gotten to lick the peanut butter spoon a little bit. He's getting a stadium, a brand new stadium. Come on, he's licking the spoon right now. He's not doing too bad.
After nearly 10 years of consistently losing money, it's the same thing as Braley. You know,
Braley
took care of the Argos.
Nobody dragged him to the bank and said, "Give us your money." I mean, nobody dragged him to the bank. I mean,
I know you're an Argo fan, Frank, but you have to be honest. The league, the 2012 Grey Cup was a gift from the CFL to David Braley. That was saying, "Hey, Braley, we appreciate all you've done."
At this point, you're talking to a CFL fan. You're not talking to an Argo fan. Okay, if I was talking like an Argo fan, I would have said the Argos would be in the Grey Cup this year. You're talking to a CFL fan, and now I'm talking from a perspective of being a CFL fan. Firstly, Bob Young's got a new stadium now. All those years that he was running the team, he ran it knowing what it was making, what it wasn't making. All right? And he loves doing it, and if he couldn't afford to do it, he wouldn't do it. I'll live with Christopher's, talking about the owners this, how they have a right for this, and they have a right for that. But even Christopher would agree with me that the owners have a right to choose to lose money if that's their choice.
Of course.
Right?
Yep.
So if he doesn't want to lose money, he sells the team.
No owner of the CFL bought a team to make money.
Because they bought
the team so they didn't lose. They don't want to lose bucketfuls of money because nobody wants to. But they all made their money somewhere else. They're not in this game to make money. They just don't want to lose it.
So as far
and if they did lose it, they want to gain it back.
Right. And as far as you're concerned, Braley's not the only guy who has made sacrifices. Like you said, Braley, Bob Young, and you know what? A lot of the people who run football, including out there in Montreal, that have a vested stake, and Serge, you can jump in. And how much do you think Montreal fans would take the fact that they even sniffed the idea that they were being frozen out of making it to the Grey Cup? That wouldn't last very long.
I don't know. I mean, this is what are we? This is WWE now. It's like everything's predetermined. Everything's I mean, I don't know. This is becoming a joke. Okay, seriously, come on.
Right. I don't want to. It's not that I'm an Argo fan that I'm against what you're saying. It's because I'm a CFL fan. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I was very satisfied with Saskatchewan's victory over Hamilton because it was an Argo.
So was
fan?
I.
No, because Hamilton got their ass kicked a little bit. But mostly because it was a great game. And when a team dominates another team, that's just as entertaining, in my opinion, as a closely contested game. When a team, it's not often you see a team tear another team to shreds in the championship game because usually they're pretty evenly matched. So it had its, it had its...
Have you been smoking my bud?
Huh?
Have you been smoking my bud?
Why? What did I do wrong?
Because there's no way that a game is as entertaining if it's a blowout.
I think it is just
as entertaining as if it's a closely contested game.
Not all the time. Not all the time.
You're smoking something.
No, I'm serious. It was incredible to watch the domination by this team over another team. And if next year Hamilton does the same thing to Saskatchewan, I might like it. But the odds-on favorite, I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to like it if we get another dominated game next year. But it's nice for a change. It's nice for a change. It's like some people tried suggesting that Toronto whipped Calgary's butt in the Grey Cup. They didn't.
No. Yeah, they
didn't. They didn't. It wasn't a last-second affair, but it was in question right to the last quarter, I think.
Oh, I mean, we all know 2012, that was Calgary laid down in the Argos, or just stepped over them. It wasn't like the Argos dominated,
No, they didn't dominate. And the year before that BC won, that was a pretty tough game.
I'm a guy that when I go to the buffet,
I don't eat off the same area. I move around. Mm-hmm. I like it a little different here and there. Once in a while, I want to have a little French food, maybe a little Spanish, a little Chinese. I like the vive la difference.
But if you look back, the last 5 years, the only good Grey Cups we've had was the Montreal, Saskatchewan, those back-to-backs, and that was because it was the perfect scenario. You had the underdog Riders with all that fan support basically in their home turf taking on Montreal, right? I mean, last year we had the opposite. We had Saskatchewan, the favorite with all the fan support, and you saw what happened. It was like it's like watching a deer get shot. It was terrible. But I don't know, man. I'm hoping – I know BC is going to be in the Grey Cup, and if they are, do you think Hamilton is going to be able to go in there and win?
I don't think they're going to make it to the Grey Cup this year. I think they're going to be that. Okay, they're going to have to – if they do, though, if they got to go to BC, I don't think – right now they don't have the quarterback that'll play to BC's weakness. You guys can take over.
Yeah, any team in the East, whether it be Montreal, Hamilton, Toronto, do you think anyone in the East
can beat BC.
Is going to go into
that
BC and win?
Toronto can beat BC. Montreal, a same problem as Hamilton. Do they have a quarterback that can potentially take advantage of BC's only weakness, which will be their backfield?
Yep.
That's all.
Well,
Montreal's
got a strong enough arm.
If Ottawa gets in, they'll be able to beat BC.
Oh, come
they
on
won't,
now.
But
come on. Let's calm that talk down. We don't want to get any of the other red-black fans listening like Stevie Richardson, the false idea.
Dude, you guys are thinking that my backfield's not changing.
Your backfield's terrible. It's the old-timers, it's the seniors, Holmes, and
but
the
you're telling me that it's not going to change. You're expecting Wally to just ignore the fact that his old guys are getting old.
He's never done that.
His cap is strapped, dude. He's got a $450,000 quarterback, and he's got a Manny Arsenault, not to mention all the other receivers. Andrew Harris just got an extension. You got too much money in your offense, man. Your offensive line, Olafoye.
And
think
you
about
remember,
top paid guys.
Y'all re-signed Stephon Logan.
That's why he got Khalif Mitchell, because they know their secondary is going to struggle, so he needs to generate pressure from his defensive line. That's why he was willing to, kind of take the hit with Khalif Mitchell, because they're desperate. He knows the situation. So
and Khalif comes cheap.
I don't know, man. All right.
And I actually thought they was going to do a contract renegotiation with Manny to kind of free up some of that money, because they paid him a lot of money.
Yeah,
I actually thought they was going to kind of free it up. Yeah.
That was what I was going to ask everyone. Do you guys think Manny Arsenault is an elite receiver? Because he's one of the top paid in the league. You think he's worthy of that?
You know what I think would hurt him is just coming back from the NFL, getting reacclimated with the CFL.
He came back from the NFL hurt, okay? Came back hurt.
Yep.
And in this offseason, he had surgery, and he has been rebuilding, and he is at the training facility. The strength coach is working on him. Chris Boyko is working on him every single day of this offseason since his surgery. He says he is back better, faster than he ever has been before. So I'm going to take him at face value and say Manny is not going to have the same year he had last year. He's going to come in and rip it up.
I like what he did last
year. I have to believe that.
Is he your best receiver?
I like
my personal opinion is Courtney Taylor is better than him.
I'm not saying that I think we have a good stable of receivers. Who's going to be number one? Who cares? I'd rather have four in the top ten than the top one receiver.
Okay.
Like I said, BC's not going to win the running back challenge this year. That's going to be Cornish. But I'll tell you, Stephon and Harris are going to have more combined yards. So the same with my receivers. I'd rather have the ball going all over the place.
Is there anything out there about who's going to start, or is it just like an open thing right now between Harris
who's
and Logan?
That?
They're running back.
They're sharing duties. There's not one over the other.
Oh, they're just going to split it? Wow. Okay.
And you know what?
Well, you
that's
get two different looks
DC,
with
him.
Yeah, you get
two
different looks.
Two different running backs. I mean, Harris is straight up the middle, north-south runner, and Logan's a scat back. And two different scenarios, two different times. They're both be coming out of the backfield in the same game. They're both awesome hands coming out of the backfield for short dump passes. I mean, it's like
and
having
both,
seven receivers
both help
on the
pass
field.
For different, they'll both help the pass for different reasons. And
yeah.
I like Manny Arsenault. I think Arsenault's a great receiver.
He could be one of the best in the league this year.
Me too.
Yeah,
and he's going to be healthy, so it's not going to be
like. He's got a scary
offense.
They have a scary defense. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, but trouble is for two different reasons. Scary for BC, the defense. Scary for the rest of the league,
yeah.
The offense.
No, man, you look at my defensive line. Look at my linebackers. There is not a linebacker core in this league that can even hold a candle to those three. Okay.
Oh, I don't know about that, man.
Our front seven. What's that?
I don't know about
that.
You're talking
about Adam Big Hill,
like, okay.
Solomon Alaminian, and
Jamal
Johnson.
Big Hill is good, but I think Alaminian is a little bit overrated. Jamal Johnson is pretty old. I mean, the guy's like 35, 36. You know, he's not necessarily
the man's 29
anymore. Who, Jamal Johnson?
Or no, so that was Aluminium. Hang on, let me look.
That's Aluminium. No, Jamal Johnson's like 34 or 35, man. That's why Hamilton let him go. But Aluminium, man, he's just a big hitter. Like, he's not even that. I mean, when you watch him in coverage, he always gets beat. He's just not that fast. He's just known for the big hits.
He's
like,
31.
Yep.
Johnson's 31.
When we talk about the linebacking core in the league that
will compete against these guys.
When we
Let's
talk
just
about
face
BC's
it, they are
defense.
The best linebacking core.
When we
I think
talk
Montreal
about BC's
right there.
Defense, yes.
I think Montreal may even be better.
But, Christopher, lean on what you said before. You don't have to be the best defense. The point is that your team is going to be heavier offense than they are going to be defense. You know, the question is, will the defense hurt you? That's all. And there's some people in this group that think that you may get hurt defensively because you have some weaknesses there that you don't have on offense. So nobody's trashing your defense.
Our defense
nobody's
is going to be stronger than our offense this year.
Well, Then you are
going to
win the Grey
Cup. Your defense was built to handle the Western teams. Like, it's built with more size and power to deal with some of that heavy running that you deal with out West. But think about how the Eastern teams, man, the speed they have. That's where BC is going to get exposed. You know, you look at Montreal. Montreal's defense is so good because they got speed on their defense. Chip Cox, Oliver Brouillé. You look at their whole secondary, speed demons across the board, man, because they know –
And their receivers, goodness gracious! Like this year,
right.
I'm going to enjoy going to the Montreal game at the Sky Dome, only because I'm going to sit there and go. Now I want to see my boys take care of these guys. It's going to be interesting, you know. And there's going to
be
five
going to be the
BC.
Best. Those
are
going to
really
shootout.
Hurt BC. What's going to really
Argos,
hurt BC?
Argos are
going to
get chewed up by the Alouettes and spit out.
Of course they will.
Yeah,
we'll just
yeah, they
see
are.
How much. That's all. We'll just see how much. Like, you know, again,
BC is
going to
get hurt by the long balls. BC is going to get hurt by the long ball. That's the only
you know,
thing
it's
that's
more than,
going,
it's
that's
more
hurt
than
you.
You know what?
You know,
Mike, I disagree with you, and you want to know why? Our front four are going to be so fast coming across the line, there isn't going to be a quarterback in the league that's going to be able to have enough time to throw a long ball because the receivers aren't going to get downhill fast enough. Okay,
but
that's
thing,
where
the
we're
thing about
that's,
it is,
we're coming off the line so quick. You're not going to have the time. So you know what? We can have a little bit of week
is,
in
Chris,
the DBs.
I'm really getting disappointed
that
we better not miss any games this year because if we're just going to talk about what if maybe this that because I really want to start seeing what's going to happen because like I said we're all so fired up ready for the season. Please CFL, you know,
like, I want this to happen now.
Yeah, no,
okay.
The one thing we all agree on, right, is that it would suck a lot, even an exhibition game, because we're all waiting to see what, as is always the case, you know, eternal hope runs forever before the season starts. So we all want to know what hope we really have, and you know, and that comes with games. And I really hope the league straightens this thing out. You know, Christopher, your team's going to be great. Don't worry. You're getting way too wound up. And
I'm not wound up. I just cannot believe that you guys are not paying attention. I mean, we did just sign Khalif Mitchell back.
And Manasseh.
Kieron Williams
attention.
Is going to come back. That's just a given. I mean,
yeah, but
the defensive line is
trying to get
you going.
Trying to get you going, and it worked. And I did, too. I'm just as guilty. You know, what do we really know, Christopher? What do we really know at this point? All we know is that the CFL season is still a month and change away. And you know what? Your team's going to be one of the ones to beat. And we know that because you guys are hosting the Grey Cup. And as is the case, you know, recently, usually they end up in the Grey Cup, and God forbid they end up winning too. So no one questions, and no one here has questioned the fact that BC is an odds-on favorite to represent the West. I did say Saskatchewan would finish first, but I didn't say that they would be in the Grey Cup. I'm just saying that because I think BC is a good team that'll be you know, momentum will be on their side because the Grey Cup's at home, and it's a confidence builder, especially with the history that we've had, you know. And as far as Toronto's concerned, I want to see how bad they're going to be. Does it really matter to me how bad they're going to be? No, I'm willing to find out.
You don't have to worry about
that. I'm just willing to find out. I'm dying to find out.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing for you and John and all the Argo lifers is that you're going to have entertaining games because the Argos are going to have to score like 35 to 40 points to win almost every night. So you're going to see a lot of those like 42, 38, 35
and
games.
And that's to win by 1 point.
Great. Yeah, exactly. But that's going to be fun, man. It's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, well, most of the footballs that they use in Toronto aren't going to have much skin left. That's from them whizzing in the air. Yeah, no,
I thought that was going to be some kind of a Rob Ford.
No. Listen, I'm just looking for entertainment. The CFL entertains me. I'm a CFL fan as much as I am an Argo fan, okay? I love the game, and I want to check it out. And this year, one of the reasons why I've walked away from other leagues is coming to haunt me here. It's following me to the CFL. That's what pisses me off. That's what pisses me off. It bothers me more than the Argos having a bad year. So,
but your team is going to be really very entertaining because they're going to put up some points.
I trust our GM just like Kelly trusts his, just like Christopher trusts his, and just like you, Mike, trust the three teams that you've enjoyed the past year and followed. You know,
Is it only three?
Yeah, two or three, whatever it is. You know, guys, all fun aside, we all want to watch the game. And as much as we enjoy, promoting our opinions based on loose facts, we would really love to be able to debate the games. You know, that's what we really want to talk about. We want to test ourselves. If we're like Christopher, I can use your phrase, to see if we're all really paying attention and are able to see what's going to happen in the next game. That's what I'm looking forward to. No offense, guys. It's not that I don't like having these conversations, but, you know, you can only have these kinds of conversations for so long. And then you want to talk about what's going to happen next week in the game, what's going to happen, and what happened last week in the game, right? I mean, I don't think you guys would disagree with that, right? We want to see the games, man.
We got like 3 weeks until training camp, right? So training camp's the end of May.
Yeah.
So let's hope this deal gets done, man. They got enough time.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it'll get done. I think it'll get done in time, and I happen to think that I have all the faith in the world in our commissioner. I think Cohan is smart enough to know that he's built a reputation. He's helped to resurrect the reputation of the CFL, and I think he'd be the first guy that want to take steps backwards in the reputation of the CFL, which strike and lost games, even just exhibition games, would be a step backwards.
I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that.
So we'll have faith in it. And you know, the league itself has a bunch of people here that love the game so much. It's almost less about the money. It's more about the game. I truly believe that in my heart. I believe that the CFL, more than any other league, the people involved in the game, the players, the coaches, the owners, it's the game they love. The profit's not too easy to love because it's elusive.
Yep. Not to mention, we can't miss that we have all these great opening games. Toronto opens up.
Oh, for goodness' sake, no kidding.
You know,
and I'd hate to think that those are going
to
be games.
Burris. Yeah.
I'd hate, and I, and earlier, Manasseh, we were talking about those are going to be exhibition games because the teams won't be set. It's going to be experimentation rather than for 2 weeks of exhibition. It's going to be four regular season games. It's going to harsh the mellow of those great games, those the first game, you know, here, the first game, you know, there, you know, and Saskatchewan, we won the Grey Cup last year, you know. It's just not going to, it's not going to taste good.
Nope.
You know,
it's not.
Well, listen, on that note, I'll give you guys each 30 seconds to wrap up the night the way you feel we should wrap it up. Start with you, Manasseh. Take a half minute to give a dissertation on your review of the evening, what you haven't had a chance to say. This is your chance.
Okay. Yeah. So, man, the CFL, I don't know what else to say, but. Yeah, I got nothing, guys. You guys have a good night, then. It was nice hearing from you fellas,
well, I'll ask
and
you this,
let's
and
just
I'll
hope
ask...
and pray the league gets
Wow. We silenced Manasseh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to learn sometime. I've been too much of a windbag. I took John's spot. Since John's been gone, I've been feeling his role.
That's okay. There's lots of room for a lot of windbags. I mean, coming from another windbag here, I mean, there's plenty of room for windbags. So don't worry about that. Don't ever let that hold you back. How about you, Mike?
First off, I want to say what's up to everybody. And I say thanks for that news concerning Calgary.
Sir.
Come on, y'all. Y'all got to get this stuff situated so we can get the season going because I think everybody got ants in their pants and they waiting for this season to come up so we can get started. You know what I'm saying? Just get it done. Just get the CBA done.
Well, we lost Serge. Serge left. So it's up to you, Christopher.
Well, I'm having a hell of a good time on CFL. We're doing a great job over on the group, trying to keep things settled down while these guys are ripping each other apart. And I can't wait till the season starts and get it going and get things settled down. And The CFL, I just can't love it enough that it's just got to happen and get the CBA underway and get it settled so that we don't have to worry about it, stress about it. I know it won't settle before the draft. The draft is going to take main stage on this, and then we'll go from there, and it'll close in the 11th hour, and everything will be just happy-dory, and we're going to have a nice football season. That's my prediction. That's my prayer.
I
appreciate
and,
it.
And listen, my prayers and my condolences to the hard luck your family has been tested with.
Go read it. You'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. And I apologize for not knowing that before we went to air. I actually went to a memorial for my mother's best friend today.
Yeah.
And I get it.
I'd hate to say it's that bad because it's not. But it's,
oh, no,
it,
no.
It,
hey,
it,
look.
It's very
always
close to home.
Bad. It's always bad. It's never not bad. Losses in our lives, whether it be friends, family, parents, you know, immediate family, it all is not good. But on a better note, I'm hoping, for me, it's not about being an Argo fan. For me, it's not about being a football fan. For me, it's about being a CFL fan. As a CFL fan, I've grown accustomed to watching my game being played between Canadian teams and Canadian cities, at least in recent memory. And I've had an opportunity to convince myself that some of the greatest people in the world, the best athletes, the most approachable athletes in the world, are there to play for me. I also feel fortunate because a lot of the owners that own the teams aren't here to get rich. Not only are they not here to get rich, some of them do spend a lot of money. You've heard here how some people aren't making a profit and how people are dumping money at the CFL to keep it going. Unfortunately, with every negotiation, there's he said and then there's she said. All I can hope for is that both sides find it in their hearts and in their minds and in their brains, because if they're not stupid, they got to know that CFL fans deserve better than a, you know, showdown at high noon. You know, that's what we don't deserve, especially if the guns start going off. That'll be very disappointing for me because it goes against what I believe is the CFL. And that, Mr. Cohan, is what you'd be taking away from me, what I believe the CFL is. You'd be calling me a liar, and I don't like that idea, and it depresses me. But I have confidence it'll all work out. And like Christopher, I agree. I think it'll all work out. And don't make us lose any games, because I can't wait even for an exhibition game. I can't even wait to see an exhibition game. To hear the knock of that equipment, I'm missing that. And I want to hear it, I want to see it, and I want to be a part of it. So hopefully they'll be able to work it out. Gentlemen, as always, it's been a pleasure for me. It always is a pleasure for me to enjoy this therapeutic moment known as the CFL is the greatest football in the world, and I get a chance to verbally share it with some guys from that same group. And as always, it's a pleasure. And folks, Monday and Friday for the CFL football, we'll be changing that soon. We'll be going Mondays and Wednesdays, especially during the football season, because they play on Friday, and I don't want to be doing no show about the CFL on a night when I could be watching it. All right, so we'll talk to you all later. Have a great night, and hope you enjoyed Candid Frank Live. The CFL is the greatest football in the world, episode number 170. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Mike has left the building.
Okay, now we're going off.
All righty.